United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
World's over. Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on WSOM AM 600. Today is the, third of October. You got to excuse me. Listen, I got this bright idea that I needed to restart my computer after I started the show, and so the date and everything is right there on the corner.
Yeah.
And then I restart, and all I see is Windows 7.
Now I see nothing. I see blank. That doesn't look good, Tracy.
I'm restarting. I'm trying to, and I got that bright idea. I said, let me start it really quick so I can get everything up and going. And I said, and then there was no date. So today is the third. Today's October 3rd, and Mark Mangi, attorney Mark Mangi, is in the studio with me, and you know, today is Mark Knows It All Thursday.
I know everything. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing well. I've been running all day long.
We got a little wet this morning.
No, I didn't get wet.
Did you get wet?
No.
I was thinking about you running into... Yeah,
no.
We, you know, Tracy's morphing into a TV personality now.
No, not yet.
And you know, she was all dressed up really pretty this morning. And,
what are you
saying? And the rain was coming down. Wow.
Don't I look like I did this morning?
No. That was a nice, just a really, really nice green dress you had on this morning.
This is not green?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. It looks blue.
Yeah, I found a way to go, like, slide through and become real.
Yeah.
That was not, you know, I didn't want to get it messed
up. Well, there's
stuff
up being unreal looking at that, you know, pretty in a green dress, pretty in green, pretty in pink.
Oh, I love you, too. See, there, that's why I keep Mark around, because Jeff them don't say nothing like that to me, that Mark will say it. See, that's, oh, and I forgot my coat, doggone it. I knew I was forgetting something when I ran out the house.
Oh, that's right. You said you're going to bring me the coat to give to my wife.
I had to get my coat to the wife.
Uh-oh. Well, you know, you're doing important stuff. You know, we're here saving the world. We're here saving the community, and this is good stuff.
And guess what?
What?
Bill Johnson's coming on.
No,
yes,
really?
He's coming
all
on
right.
He's coming on at the top of the hour.
Congressman, all
Congressman,
right.
Congressman Bill Johnson from the 6th Congressional District is going to come on with us, and he's going to talk to us about what he's doing while they're shut down in Washington.
Well, I hope he's working, but I'm sure he is
only,
a great guy.
He can only work if everybody else is working.
Yeah.
He can't hold a meeting of one.
Yeah.
And I understand that nobody wants to meet because every time they go to meet, they walk in and say, we don't compromise, and then they walk out.
Yeah, I don't understand how the media is portraying this. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not working this time. I'm not hearing near the hue and cry and whatnot from the public. I'm getting a lot of shrugged shoulders, and I haven't seen any polls, which leads me to believe that the public is nonplussed by this. And you know, they're tired of it. I mean, they pull the same stunt. The one thing about the Obama administration is there's never anything new. It's like a playbook. They open it up, and you can predict exactly what they're going to do, and you can predict exactly what they're going to say. We've been through this a number of times on various issues. And I think that the public is reaching the point of being numb and just turning it off. I don't see the benefit for him and the Democratic Party. I see the benefit ultimately accruing to the Republicans.
I don't see the benefit. Let me say it this way. I don't see the benefit to the American people, period. I don't – right now – you know, it's my understanding that they're not prepared for the exchanges on phone. The phone lines are crashing. The computer's sliding down.
Right.
It's not working.
Not working.
You have the debt ceiling coming up. And we're not paying attention to the the cry of America. And I said, I want to talk about the economy today because people are still hurting very, very badly just by not having any money. I don't think – I mean, your dollar is not stretching. Your dollar is not going anywhere.
No, dollar's not worth anything.
So I'm making all these dollars, but the stack of dollars really are, it's not getting me – my ends are not meeting.
No, it doesn't. Go on. You know, I look at the CPI figures coming out of the government, and they say there's very mild or limited inflation. What world do these people live in? You know, you go into the grocery store, you know, and you look at the cost of flour and the cost of sugar and the cost of butter and the cost of eggs. You know, this is really kind of interesting. Tracy, you know, I'm involved with an organization that has a restaurant attached to it. And so I'm kind of looking at our figures, and we were talking with a potential new manager the other night. And he said, well, food-wise, what's your biggest challenge? You know what our biggest challenge is? Bread and desserts. They're too expensive. You know, you can get veggies, you can get meat, you can get burgers. It's the bread products and the dessert products, and these are things that involve corn, eggs, dairy products, all of which are very, very expensive right now, not to mention in this area, rents are going up.
Well, you know you tied your...
But none of that goes into the figures. They don't look at the figures of that.
You realize you tied your fuel to your corn.
Sure, and that's the problem.
So somebody had a bright idea to tie fuel to corn, and when you tie fuel to corn, you know, that's not a good deal, especially when you're sitting on a powder keg called gas that you don't want to touch and coal that you want to shut down. And I'm having problems with this because I don't think people are paying attention to how this is affecting their everyday life.
Well, I talk with my liberal friends, and they go along like this guy in Washington's the best thing to happen to the middle class since sliced bread. Well, the middle class can't afford that sliced bread anymore, and the middle class is shrinking. The rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer. There's more people on food stamps than ever before. The poverty level is up in a major way. When are they going to wake up and say, there's something wrong here? When are they going to report the news? And the problem I've got is that liberals are supposed to be for the little guy. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to vote for the Democrats, he's for the little guy. Really? In what way? What have they done for the little guy? What have they done for the little guy? They're forcing the little guy to go out and buy insurance they don't want. Insurance they're not going to be able to afford. They've raised the price of gas. Right now, the government is taking in more tax income than ever before in history, and that includes sales tax and property tax, which affects the little guy more than it affects the rich guy. In what way? Because the little guy benefited from this president. I'd like anyone to call and say one way that
okay.
they have benefited
Mark,
from this president.
Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me help you out. Because I think, listen. You're not understanding that he inherited the worst economy since the Great Depression. And this is, now, this is not my word. This is the words on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And you want him to be able to fix something that George Bush killed.
George Bush didn't kill it. Bill Clinton did.
No. That's not what they told me.
Well, it's Bill Clinton did it. Nobody wants to read the history. Nobody wants to accept the fact that Bill Clinton's the one that eliminated the prohibition of mixing retail banking and commercial and investment banking and merged these together so Citigroup could go out and, you know, take your bank money, loan you money, sell you insurance, and sell you investment products. Nobody wants to talk about that, and it still hasn't been fixed.
Well, no.
Because President Obama is in bed with these guys up to his neck, and nobody wants to hear it. What part of that don't people understand? The problem's not fixed.
You mean the problem's not fixed? Yes, it is.
All they're doing is putting the little banks out of business. They're putting the small banks out of business.
No.
Yes, ma'am, that's what they're doing.
Why would you say that?
Because the regulations that they imposed, there's no differentiation between the big banks and small banks. The big banks can handle it, and the big banks have those regulations done to their benefit. They get exclusions, they get exemptions, and you know, Papa Joe's bank over here has got to comply. They can't afford it.
Papa Joe doesn't need a bank.
Everybody needs a bank.
No, Papa Joe doesn't need a bank.
Yeah, they do, because you just look at this stuff and realize that the problems that were there before are still there. The real estate industry can collapse. The financial industry can still collapse. The dollar can collapse. And nobody seems to be minding the store.
What store?
Our store, America, the great store.
Oh, we don't have a store because America's not the way it used to be. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know that. That's a really pretty picture, by the way, up there on your computer. I'm looking at that. Wow.
You see me over here, and it's giving me the blues. Trust me, it's giving me the blues. This picture's not supposed to be here. But
why is that not supposed to be there?
Because I'm rebooting my machine, and it's supposed to stop and get all. And I still can't pull up anything right now, and it won't pull up. And I'm going to just. So call in the number 347-945-5229. I didn't do it.
You know, for those of you who are listening in over here, there's a window over here, and the powers that be at the station are looking through the window, pointing their finger.
I didn't do it. You know, I have the privilege, and for those of you who are country western singers and you guys listen to K105, I have the honor and privilege of being able to have my studio next to K105 with Doug and Mary Ann. And for some reason, Doug is an easy target to pick on. And somebody moved his briefcase from where he had it,
uh-oh,
his keys.
Uh-oh.
And I had the same idea, but I didn't touch it. My fingerprints are not on it.
Yeah, well, that's good news. I thought they were looking at you for bringing down all the computers in the building over here.
No, not yet. He'll be back for that.
You're working on it, though.
He'll be back for that.
That's about 15 minutes down the road.
That's when he goes, what in the world have you done? I'm having issues. But it's coming. I see pictures. It's just not having a good day. Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break in a few minutes. And the number is 347-945-5229. Mark Mangy's in studio with me, and we want you to call in. You're up in the queue, and those of you who are in the chat room, hold on. I'm coming back in there as soon as I figure out what I've done here. But if you guys have know anything about computers, computers sometimes have a mind of their own, and they do what they choose.
Yeah.
And they don't, and they're not to where they take over your life. They just drive you nuts.
No, they can take over your life.
They
can. Especially when they put updates on that I don't want.
Oh, they're good at that.
Updates, you know, usually mean three hours worth of work trying to undo whatever it is the updates did. It's supposed to be new and improved. It's supposed to help you out. I only update once a month, and I don't let anything automatically go on. Except at home, my computer at home, they automatically update stuff, and it sounds like it's going to go through the roof like a rocket taking off because I don't have much space on my computer at home.
Well, I have this finger, and what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it, and when it doesn't do it, I tend to push the button until it does what I want it to do, and sometimes I open more windows than I choose. And right now, if you want to know what's going on with my world, is I have more windows open than should be. But if you give me a minute, I'm going to log in and get this right, and then I'm going to be up and going.
Is it working?
It's working. You got it.
I miss your bumper music, Tracy. I come here to get my education. You know, first and third Thursdays on music, and I my down. I even updated my credit card on my Google account so I could download the music that you're playing today.
What do you want to hear? What kind
of
music do you want to hear?
Pick
something good. I don't have anything with me singing on it. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
I'm fine. I'm finally up.
did you punch enough buttons?
Yes. But then I had to close them all.
She's sitting here with that mouse and clicking and clicking and clicking, and I don't know. The computer's doing all sorts of strange stuff.
And hi, all men rock. And he's laughing at me going, all locked up.
Well, I'm laughing because I do it all the time to myself. I know the feeling.
So you understand what I'm going through.
Oh, my God, do I. And the updates that Mark was talking about, I dread the updates because if I update my computer, there's no way I can Skype into this show. I can barely get into the chat rooms. Like he said, you have to undo everything. I've had to do go-backs before, you know, where you restore the computer to an earlier version just to get it to work, and that's, you know, 45. It's insane.
It's time-consuming. It takes a lot of time to undo the damage that it does.
Pretty much.
I don't know if any of you use an accounting program. I use QuickBooks as my accounting program, and I bought an update last fall, and I got 8 gigs of RAM on my computer, and it just about slows it down. It takes me 15 minutes to boot up every morning just because of that particular program and the update that I got. And I don't know what to do to fix it, except I called them up, and they wanted to charge me $600.
To do what?
To fix it.
You know, we got a guy named Tom.
Yeah.
Tom's good. You ought to call him up. He's a good guy. You ought to call him up and ask him to come over and take a look at it. He'll come and take care of it.
I fixed most of it because that guy, I called them and they said, you didn't buy the warranty thing. And I said, this thing's just 7 months old. And they said, oh, no, there's only a 6-month warranty on it. You got to pay for it to come in and do it. They didn't. You know what they didn't tell me? They didn't tell me that there is a repair button and all you have to do is click the repair button and it repairs whatever ails it. And I got it working almost as good as it was when I first installed it right now. But the boot up of the computer just is horrible. That's just slowed everything down. Once it's working, I do fine. But getting to that point is an effort every morning.
Why would I do that?
I got to go in. I got to turn the computer on and sit down, have a cup of coffee. 15 minutes later, I can go work on the computer.
You know what? In order to fix that, you go to, go down in the lower left hand. Well, this is on Windows 7. I hadn't really done it on 8, but you go to the lower left hand corner, click on the Windows emblem, go and type msconfig, and
right, yeah,
it'll come up, and then you just have your boot when it first comes up, and there's a lot of things selected to when it's first coming on that you just deselect, and you just select the main Windows things, then you shut it off and restart, and I guarantee it'll come on in seconds. A lot of times when these things come in, they ask you to they kind of insert themselves in there, and they purposely run on purpose, and they don't ask you permission a lot of times.
Alabama question: MS7, where is the run?
You have to go down in seven. And you try, it's not run. It's I'm sitting at a computer all day. I have to go look at it.
Isn't it search or something like that? I know it is different. There is no run. I want to say it's like search or something.
Yeah, you type msconfig in there. In fact, there's a bar within it, I think. Yeah, it's a bar within. There's a search bar at the bottom of once you click on the start window. Down in the lower on the Windows emblem. You just type in there. It'll come up automatically. You don't have to click on anything. Just type it in there. Hit enter. msconfig.
Because I used to be able to type that in the run button, but they took the run button away. I'm like, why would you take the run button away? How am I going to know where to run?
What Windows do you have there?
I have 7. Because in XP, there used to be a run. There was a run key or a run icon.
Yeah.
You would click on run. I think it was run, wasn't it? And then you type in msconfig. It takes you to the startup.
Go to start. You click on the start button. I forget if you right-click or left-click and hit search and type in msconfig.
Yeah, but that wasn't on. I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all.
A lot of times with these laptops, the best thing to do is just keep your original, run it all, rerun it, and then redo the whole operating system. Get all your data off there, back up everything you want, and just redo it, because it a lot of times it's not worth it. That's until your chip goes out. Once your chip goes out, you might as well throw it away.
You know what happens with me? My software if you go out and buy another piece of software, a lot of times your software won't go, was too powerful for you to go backwards. So, like, I use a lot of Adobe products, and when you upgrade your Adobe,
yeah, they do that so you can keep spending money.
They need to cut that out. I'm on a budget.
Like Microsoft, they're finna do Windows SQL Server 2000. I think they're talking about 2014 already. They're always trying to upgrade. If none of it's back, they don't have any what they call backward compatibility. So if you have a package or something that you create in 2005, which wasn't that long ago, you can upgrade it, but you can't open. Once it's done, you can't go back and open in 2005. And they know the settings that they can set it up to do that, but that's about money. That's what that is. Just like these cars that don't last past $150,000.
You know, I actually still use an A drive for a floppy.
The three and a half?
It in. Yeah.
Or three, you, and, three and a quarter.
The hard, you know, the one. Not
Mark,
the floppy.
You said
floppy.
You use what?
It's an A drive. You.
I know what an A drive is.
It's the floppy disk.
And you still do what with it?
I still use. I bought one and I plug it in, and I still use my old computer disks. That's where my stuff is.
Mark, yes. You know they make flash drives.
Yeah. Yeah, but the stuff that I use.
But you can transfer it to the flash drive.
Yeah, but I got this thing. But, I plug
but,
it
no,
in.
No,
I
Mark,
it
Mark, we know how it works.
Yeah.
But you know they make flash drives.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, do you have a car
yes.
that you drive with your feet too?
Yeah. I'm still looking to fit the little thing on the floor to click the brakes on and off. There was up by the. You remember how you turned your brakes on and off?
Yeah.
When you were a car growing up, they had a little button on the floor.
You still patting?
I'm still patting.
Ooh, I'm going to take a break and let him pat his foot because I just found out that I got a co-host that has major issues and I didn't know how major issues
were
until a few minutes ago.
Matt's heartless was for talking about that man's situation.
Hey, I'll be
that's
right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Some news for you. Yeah, go to my tail, your little boy.
For a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley and read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Stable barbecue sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Stable barbecue sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Stable barbecue sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and Alabama's on, and Matt is on. I think he went to go take a phone call. And Mark Mangy's in studio with me, and we want to hear from you also. Mark just brought up an article, and Larry Long, you know, texted me an article this morning, and somebody else sent it to me on my Facebook in reference to Dr. Ben Carson being audited. After him speaking at the prayer, and I think auditing twice, they did a superficial audit.
Found nothing.
And the next thing they came and did a 2-year back audit.
Yeah.
And how did that happen?
It's political intimidation.
What do you mean?
These people in Washington know every dirty, rotten trick in the book. And I would tell you, as someone who lived through the Watergate, if this were Richard Nixon, he'd be out on his keister right now. This guy is horrible.
Do you think? Now, let me ask this. Now, hold on, Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
You're going too far. And guys, I want you to jump in. Is it the administration or was it just by accident?
Oh, it's just
come on now.
I know.
He would never do anything like that.
Never
no.
do that. He would never do
no.
that. No. No, this guy's a control freak. Nothing's going to go on that he doesn't know about like this, or his thugs, Valerie Jarrett and that pluck dude.
They actually released the emails where they released emails saying that Obama wants this done when they went after the Tea Party.
Yeah.
Whoa. Let me say that again. Obama wants this done. So did we shut down the government so that we could focus on the government and not shut down on going after him for going after people through the IRS? The administration is not supposed to use the IRS as its political hack.
Where are our Republicans in the Congress kicking and screaming about this, and where are they in the IRS investigation?
Right now they're concerned about the shutdown.
Everything's false compared to that. The shutdown is a bunch of bull, and the upcoming debt ceiling thing is going to be a bunch of bull. I'm reading about that over here right now. They need to concentrate on where the problem is. This guy has committed felonies. He needs to go. We've had enough. How much more do we have to take?
Where has he committed felonies, Larry? Come on now, you're being hard. Where has he committed felonies?
If this guy has directed the Internal Revenue Service to use their power to go after his political enemies, that is a felony. He needs to be out of office.
You can't prove that, though. You can't prove that.
We don't know what they can prove. We don't know what they can prove, and I think you are going to be able to prove it.
You're talking about Eric Holder. You're saying you think Eric Holder is going to kick over Attorney General Eric Holder.
It's going to come from some underling. It'll come from some secretary. It'll come from some lower-level thing that has taken a look at the emails and figured out what's going on. It just takes a slight crack or a misquote. And if you look when Nixon got into trouble, you know, it was a misquote in the testimony in front of Congress on another matter.
Good luck. This is what I'm saying. For one, Obama's black. Which means you do anything against him,
hold on, okay, go ahead.
Even though he's not African American, so to speak, he's not really black, but he's kind of black. But let's just say you're gonna have to go through racism. You're gonna have to go through a black man telling you what to do, and you didn't like it, so you stick him. You're gonna have to go through that. Number one, I think the guy's gonna be out another 3.5. Just let it go. They're not going to get this guy. I mean, they just not, after all this stuff he's done, they're not going to get him.
Why
this
not?
Dude sat and watched, oh, they sat and watched Americans die in Benghazi, and ain't nothing happened. Y'all was saying the same stuff back when. They gonna get him. They gonna get him. They ain't getting him. He said that we know they had a feed 30 minutes in. They had a feed in the White House, and he didn't know about it. He sat there and watched it. So, I mean, this guy's not going anywhere. I mean, we might as well let it go. Just let it go. I mean, I'm just being honest. I would love to get him kicked out, but he ain't going nowhere.
I don't want him doing it anymore. This guy, it's not that I understand the argument that he's a black man and the racism's going to come out. The end of the day, this has nothing to do with his race. His problem has been he's got a bunch of left-wing ideological thugs. And these people are the worst kind of ideologues that you deal with when you get
Larry,
into government.
Larry, this has everything to do with race. I mean, you gotta learn that one. I mean,
hold on, Alabama. I got a question for you. I gotta know this. What's got to do with race?
Say it again.
What does him being African black? American, what's that got to do with the price?
Okay, you're dealing with.
I mean, I'm
gonna clarify. Let me clarify this.
Oh, help me out.
You're dealing with an emotional electorate that is easily herded into doing things. So you're not talking about a situation where they're actually going to judge him on his merit, his job performance. He's not going to get his real, true job performance. He's not going to. Historically, the history books are going to be kind. This guy's going to probably end up running the UN or something. This guy is not going to be touched. Mark my words. They're not going to do nothing to him. After Benghazi, you guys should know by now. You should know. They say they sent more people for Benghazi. No, they sent less people for Benghazi than they did to stop some veterans from going into a memorial yesterday. So that just goes to show you what we did. These people, this has everything to do with race because the media is going to tell you it has to do with race. And you got a lot of emotional black and liberal people in this country that don't think they get their marching orders from the TV, from the media. And that's what's going to happen if you go after this guy. So just that's like pulling teeth. You're just not going to get it.
There will come a point in time where, and I'm not sure where that point's going to be over the next 3.5 years, but if it looks like the public has turned off the media, and I think they're reaching that point right now. This time around with the shutdown, I'm not hearing I'm hearing the stuff on the media, but the people I'm talking to, nobody pays attention.
You know what, though? I hung up yesterday when the guy called in talking about 90% of the country wants gun control. People like that, you just there's no hope for them. So,
I do remember that. Yeah,
I hung up after that. I said, man, I can't listen to this. I don't know where he got that from. Obama said it, so now it's gospel. There's too many people like that. There's a lot of dumb people that don't really, and I'm not saying dumb like they don't have, they're not intelligent, but when it comes to this guy, it's like, you know, they say when a girl has a child for a guy or something, that guy can go out and cheat, he can beat her, he can do whatever. Go out there and do as I say, and I'll be doggone. He ain't like a pimp. He's a pimp. And most of the American people are the street workers out here for him. I don't know, but I'm going to do my part. They out there working the streets for him. That's he the pimp.
I'll tell you one thing
he
can't do. There's one thing Obama can't do. And they'll toss him under the bus, and that's jeopardize the election of Hillary Clinton as president. That's one thing he can't do.
He did that with Obama. Why do you think after the 2014 election?
Hold on, Alabama. What'd you say, Mark?
If things start to snowball to the point where it looks like it's going to affect the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton's election, the Clintons will throw him under the bus. Hillary wants to be president so bad she can taste it. Right now, everything is geared towards getting her elected.
Hold on, Alabama. Go ahead.
Let me finish.
No, I'm finished. It's just everything's geared right now towards getting her elected. Now, right now, there's a rapprochement between the two camps,
Mark,
but they're no friends. They're not friends.
I hear you, Mark.
Bill Clinton will throw him under the bus in a minute.
I understand. Bill Clinton wanted to throw him under the bus the first time when he was beating Hillary the first time. Look, these people, they're not just unified in the Democrat Party. You got that old Democrat guard, and that's the Clintons, and you got this new electronic marketing, new people, new force of people, and that's the pro-Obama people. So he kind of stole her thunder. And I just don't see
look, man, this guy right now, the government has, and the government has grown and centralized so much under this guy to where it's just, they've never thought they can get this type of stuff. You think, and they got him in there. So, yeah, when he go out, his approval rating is going to be in the team. But guess what? They're going to be the, took all our constitutional rights. Gonna be the, it's going to get that bad, and guess what? And if you say something, you're still racist. I don't care if he got a 12% approval rating. And that's, he ain't going to ever go under 12%. We know why. So
Hold on, Alabama. I want to hear, Matt, what'd you say?
Let me agree with Alabama and Mark. First of all, Alabama's right. And it can be, I'm not sure if this is one word or two, but it can be summed up with the one or two word mindset. The mindset in this country, as far as the liberal mindset, they won't, and I can illustrate this perfectly for an earlier conversation I had with somebody today, but it's the mindset in this country that will allow Obama to pretty much get away with anything. Now, what Mark is talking about, you're right with the Clinton thing, because there is so much turmoil going on in the country right now that the Democrat Party has to back somebody like Hillary because they got nothing else. Liberals will follow Hillary because they believe in Hillary. They believed in her in the last election when she ran against Obama too, but they saw Obama come with a little bit more ammunition. So really, you're both right in a sense when it comes to that. When it comes to the mindset of people in this country, I just had a conversation with a guy this morning, and he's an attorney, and he's a liberal. And he tried, it was point for point when it came to the Supreme Court decision on the individual mandate for Obamacare. And he was dead set that the Supreme Court upheld the individual mandate as it stood in the bill. That is absolutely false and wrong. They did not uphold it as it stood in the bill. They suggested it be a tax. Last time I checked, the judicial branch in this country does not have the power to write and pass legislation. This is an attorney, but he's a liberal, so it's all about mindset.
I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with what you just said. I'm just saying that it seems like, and Mark is not personal, but he goes after, he always says that Obama's this, Obama's that, and I agree with everything he's saying, but I'm at a point now, he's kind of like that, you just have to accept the fact that we have a mediocre guy and that it's going to suck, that's going to go, and he's going to do everything. I almost think you can make the case he hates the country, but at the same time, because people think he's black, because he, even though he can't stand black, but we ain't going to go into that, but I'm just saying, this guy is untouchable. So it's almost, his time is ticking away. He's doing certain things. Like right now, this situation's turned into racist Republicans don't want to see a black man. That's what it's turned into. I heard people talking like that. I'm like, what does that have to do?
This is my issue. This is my issue. As we grow, and when I look at, as we move forward and we move, and they can't mobilize the African American base anymore, and they're getting to that because people are becoming disheartened because things are not getting better and no one is crying out in the wilderness to help them get through the process.
Tracy, I disagree. I love my people, but I don't have I don't trust them
Confident.
Intellectually in politics on to
but
think
this,
past
this is not
book.
About this is, hold on. This is not about this is not about intellect. This is about as the government shuts down, as money grows tighter, as the economy gets weaker, and it is, and as all these things happen, it's going to affect the African American and the poor community. They're going to be the hardest hit when they start going into these.
Hold on,
Alabama. But listen, when they start going into these exchanges and getting into these medical lines, and their health is not as what they thought it's going to be. Or when they are working and they start taking this money out of their check and penalizing them for not having insurance because they can't afford it, then you're going to see these corners turn. The question is, I don't think President Obama will be there, but I don't think he will be endeared as he is today because they're going to find out that they were at the bottom of the pack at the end of the day.
What's curious to me is who's at the top of the pack. Well, this guy has got a, this guy has made deals with bankers, big business. This is crony capitalism at its worst with this guy, and nobody seems to care. He keeps saying, "I sooner or later, I've got a, I believe in the American people. I believe, you know, my opinion is there's a lot of low information voters that is talked about a lot on conservative radio like this. But sooner or later, when it affects them,
did you see
that they're going to wake up and say, wait a minute, why is this happening?
Did you see the Jimmy Kimmel on the street?
What about Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, and they said that the Affordable Care Act was better than Obamacare.
Yeah.
And they went through a series of people, and they said, oh, the Obamacare is bad, but the Affordable Care Act is better.
It sounds scary, but you know what's interesting? It's Obama that turned them off.
And the black guy, he said, well, you know, Obamacare is for the poor people. I mean, you got to understand that people, when we talk about low information voters, you got low information people. People don't have a clue what in the world is going on around them. It's like they're in the middle of a merry-go-round going around in a circle, not realizing that they're not going anywhere. And that's what's scary. And President Obama is sitting there, and he's the one with his hand on the lever.
Here's the other half of the equation. The Republicans have not offered a viable alternative. There is no leader within the Republican Party to come forward and take the issues and do what needs to be done with them. If somebody died and left me the boss of the Republican Party, I would have been running ads nationwide for the last 2 weeks talking about what Obamacare does and explaining to the American public what it is that we're doing and why. And there's got the built-in issues. Congress exempted itself, and the president exempted the big corporations. Who represents you? These ads write themselves, and there's nothing. They don't do anything.
Again.
Okay, Mark, this is the thing. The government, they're both the same. I mean, I know this sounds like a rhetorical, like I'm just being funny, but they're the same thing. It's like the WWE. They hate each other, then they're back in the back drinking a beer. I'm telling you, it's the same people, the same organizations, the same banking cartels are coming in and running these different parties and telling these people their marching orders. I mean, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they were talking about how when Ron Paul was in there, Newt Gingrich and Santorum knew they weren't going to win. And the guy was like, you know, he made a point. And I was like, man, you know, he probably got a good point. He's like, they made Santorum and Newt Gingrich stay in the party long enough so that it wouldn't be Ron Paul on the stage with Mitt Romney. Because a lot of people like Ron Paul. Well, you know, when it would have looked bad because this guy was getting 80 seconds in debates and stuff. So they stayed in there to keep him from getting it. I'm saying this whole thing is on a collision course in a certain direction. But Tracy, you made a point about black people, and this is going to sound like, you know, they'll call me an Uncle Tom for saying this. We don't think when it comes to stuff like that.
I got to take a few calls. But listen, it's not that we don't think; we're conditioned not to think. We don't understand, and this is not about black anymore. What it is they're conditioning the whole American electorate to do nothing, do not think, memorize what I tell you, walk as you follow me, and don't ask me any questions unless I've given you the question to ask. It's really not about black and white anymore, even though black people are going to catch pneumonia if white America catches a cold. But we need to understand this. This is not about black and white anymore. They no longer want anybody to know anything about anything, and that's the crux of the matter. The white people don't know the difference between Obamacare and the Affordable Health Care Act, Republican and or Democrat, no matter how they voted. They don't have a clue, and the American journalistic system is at fault. Hold on. 440, your mic is on.
If Obamacare is law, how can that law be for only a certain amount of people? You can't exempt certain parts of society from law. It's against
he did.
You're exactly
it's
right.
Against, It's against the Constitution. You can't make people, you can't exempt certain people from the law. I don't give a damn who it is. You can't do it. And they're doing it. I mean, right there, they can stop the whole process right there.
The Supreme Court said it's legit, though. I mean, that's why we got some crackheads up there.
No.
Get rid of them donkeys up there.
Alabama, the Supreme Court did not say that you could exempt people from the tax.
Part of the ruling is that then. I mean, if they got all, is it constitutional or not? It's obviously unconstitutional. Why did it pass in the first place? Why did they uphold it then?
Because they chose to. Because remember, when it was going up against the Hill, he said that they could pass it as a tax. The mandate could be passed as a tax, and that was their argument. But what this, what 440 is saying, and he's absolutely right, the problem is they have too many exemptions of people and processes and organizations and businesses that are exempt from actually participating in the Affordable Health Care Act, which is totally and should be against the law, you would think. But that's just common sense, which is not so common anymore.
Well, I think they're running scared. And we talked about this earlier today. Tracy and I got up this morning and went to have breakfast together. People are going to talk.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But we had a good breakfast. And
very productive.
It was productive breakfast. And we talked about how the tenor and the tone coming from the Democratic Party and the Obama White House is almost on the verge of hysteria. Calling names, I'm not an extremist. I'm not a jihadist. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an anarchist. I'm none of those things that these people have called me, and they get ramping up the rhetoric to a point. You know, the Shakespeare said, "Methinks thou dost protest too much." Why are they? Why? What's with the tone? What are they hiding?
216, your mic is on.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I think Alabama is right on the money today. Democrats and liberals in general, and I would say black people specifically, are blaming the Republicans for everything. And Tracy, you said as things get worse and as, black people and just anybody, you know, their health care is going down. Listen, the Republicans are going to get blamed for everything. And let me just read quick two headlines out of today's Plain Dealer. One is GOP influence waning, businesses sides with Obama. The other one here, and this is even more disturbing, this is out of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Poll, Americans want debt cap raised. Listen, we are losing, and you know Mark can disagree with that all he wants. We are losing. We are in the minority now, and Republicans will be blamed for everything. The people have spoken. I think, unfortunately, the people have spoken. They voted Obama in two times in a row, and we'll see what happens in these midterms. But I think the people have spoken. I think the people are wrong, but they have spoken.
Give them what they're asking for. I say, let it go off done cliff. Let it bust open. At the end of the day, it has to happen. I mean, these people, if any normal human being would say, okay, before we raise the ceiling, let's go ahead and sit down and look at everything we spend money on and see if we can go in the other direction. That's not even an option. You know, that's
one more
not
thing
an option. The can only option we have thing? Is to keep
spending
and raise the
Hold
debt.
On.
That's the only option out there.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? And so I'm thinking that we're all thinking the same thing. Let's let it get bad. Let's let it hit rock bottom, and then people will come to our side. I'm afraid that's not going to happen. It's going to hit rock bottom, and then it's going to go way to the other side, way more socialism. That's what I'm afraid of. You know, we think this is good.
You are right.
We're going to be blamed
right.
for this, and it's going to get
you
worse.
You are exactly right.
Unfortunately, I think I hope not. I hope we can keep fighting, we can keep talking, but we're losing this battle.
Because
people want
I think
it.
They're losing because they can't communicate, though. They're not able to. My thing is, okay, America, this is what you want. We'll raise the debt ceiling, but just know that this is what – it's all about communication.
But
if
Alabama, listen, the problem is you're talking about debt ceiling. We're talking about shutdown. We're talking about all this stuff. 47% of America has no idea that, and let me say this, 65% of America, but 47% straight up
They have no difference between shutdown, debt ceiling, quantitative easing, Congress, Senate, President, infrastructure, Republican. They don't have a clue. Most of them don't even know who the vice president is, let alone Boehner and Pelosi. Do we understand that? See, we're talking about some stuff that people have no idea because they've kept us ignorant.
Which goes to my point. If the Republican Party has failed to communicate to the American public in an effective manner, listen, you can sit down and say, well, the press is against us, fine. You go around the press. There's ways it could be done. But there is no leadership from coming within the Republican Party.
The leadership is muted.
The leadership,
true leadership,
have to be
true leadership, but true leadership. They got
no,
it. Was only,
muted.
The only guy during the election
that's
trying to fix the budget was they sent him home. They ostracized him. The only guy. Look, everybody's screaming he's crazy because of his foreign policy. He's the only guy that would have fixed it. I'm sorry. We have to own up to it. He's the only guy. The rest of them are the same people. All of them.
Hold up. I got to pull up some people. Private caller, your mic is on.
Yes, I was just going to say, we keep talking about people, like, I mean, saying they're stupid and all that. I agree with you. This is the way people have been taught. I mean, and sometimes I think we're stupid because you got Democrats that think that the people in the government, the Democrat are for them, and then you got the people who are Republicans who think the people in the government are Republicans are for them, and neither one of them are for us. Neither one of them. They're all for themselves, and I mean, when are we going to wake up and understand that these people are together? They're all one. They act like they're separate. They act like they're arguing, but at the end of the day, they're all happy at the end. They're all getting paid, and other people are not. So when are we going to wake up and understand that?
That's it in a nutshell.
That's it.
That's it in a nutshell.
What do you suggest? What do you suggest? A coup?
Yeah.
Is you suggesting a coup?
Yes.
I think that's a good idea.
It's not going to be a coup. We're all going to just sit back and take it. Trust me, we're all just going to take it. No one's. Are you going to fire the first shot? No.
I'm
going to
fire the first shot. But what you do is
you don't have to shoot to have a coup. We need to take
America back and not. And
yeah,
we need to make sure
do what those veterans did at the World War II Memorial.
Take the barriers down.
We've got to take the barriers down.
Absolutely.
And say, we're not going to do this, we're not going to take it anymore, and fooey on you. And that's what we have to do. But there's got to be a leader. Tracy, are you going to be our leader?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
I
have nothing to lose.
We keep, sooner or later, and I keep, because I'm experiencing this right now with the situation that I'm involved in my practice. There's going to come a point in time where people feel betrayed. Now, I'm not sure how they're going to point that betrayal, but when they wake up one day and say, why isn't my life better? Why are things worse? Why am I broke? Why am I losing my home? Why am I doing this when this man who I trusted and put into office was supposed to come and help me? And that kind of betrayal is the worst kind of betrayal because you trust
Mark.
I
got to take my break.
Mark.
Hold on, guys. I'm going to leave the phone lines open so you guys can talk. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll be right back. When I come back, Congressman Bill Johnson will be on, and we're going to let him have a conversation with us. And then at 1:30, when he gets off, we'll start back this conversation again. I'm quite sure he'll give us a whole lot to chew on and to talk about. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
WSOM.
You know, I got to answer what Mark was just talking about. There are, shockingly, yesterday I had a liberal friend of mine actually say that this government shutdown is the fault of the president. I was shocked, but she was the only one. She said, I'm going to begin to start turning. Listen, nobody's going to turn around and say, you know what, I'm in a worse place right now and it's Obama's fault. All Obama has to do in the left, or whoever's in power on the left, all they have to do is point at the Republicans and say that they stood in their way for something, or that this vote didn't go through because of this, that, or the other. That's all they have to do, and the electorate will buy it. And that's what's scary.
But if you pay attention, when you say you're not going to negotiate, all bets are off. No, you have to negotiate. That, for him to make that statement, was completely foolish. And my thing about the coup was you don't have to fire a shot.
And you're right.
You have enough.
No,
I agree
with all
women,
that.
If you have enough people,
hold on, guys.
Enough,
the problem you're running into is that when he said he doesn't have to negotiate, the law is on his side. It's passed, and it went to the Supreme Court. That's why it looks like it's the Republicans, because the Republicans are saying we're going to do something.
That's,
even though you deemed it passed, you didn't have the votes, and you used some little loophole to get through a bunch of cracks to try to get it passed.
No,
the whole thing was done illegally. But at the same time, let's not act like it's not law, and he's really looking like the clean guy.
They're not saying that. They're saying it's still law. They want to delay. They want to delay the implementation so they can get it right.
And they have a right to do that.
Huh?
They have a right to do that. They have a right to make those
concessions.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. They're not trying to turn back the law. They're just saying, look,
well, they did
delay
it first, in all fairness.
No, you know what? I think the best thing for this country would be to let them get what they're asking for.
I am on board with that, Alex.
I agree with you.
Everything they want with this bill, everything they want with what they think is free, give it to them. Give it to them because the problem, that's what happens in life a lot of times. You think you want something, somebody tries to warn you, turn them over to it. Give them over to the reprobate mind, so to speak, and let them have it, and they'll see. The problem is, look, my dad died going to the VA. The VA is a terrible healthcare system. But you can always find one person. The VA was fine for me. So just because that one person, you can find all types of evidence saying it's bad, but they don't care, man. People do not care. That's the problem. We care, but people don't. So I think that you sometimes you want to get upset at the American politicians, but you have to get upset with the people. This is something they created. They put this guy in here. They put him in there.
Yep.
Anybody can look at him and see he's not what he says he is. But
yeah, but you're like the people had a better choice before this president was in there. It's been going downhill before he got in there. It was going downhill. And
it's been going downhill. It's been going downhill 100 years.
People aren't conditioned to believe a certain way. I mean you got to be able to see that. It ain't like that. I can see that when they was going for the presidency. You had a candidate from the Republican side. Republicans didn't even want to vote for him, so what do you expect other people? They're not going to vote for him either.
Well, sir, the Republicans put up a good candidate that they're
willing to vote for, and then maybe other people will vote for him too if it's a good candidate. But if you're giving somebody McCain,
I agree with the point you just made. They had Ron Paul and they deemed, look, I don't agree with everything Ron Paul says. I don't want homosexual marriage. I disagree with that. But I'd rather deal with that, and we fighting tooth and nail over that, than what we're dealing with either the Republicans or the Democrats. With both of them, they're both going to take us to hell. One is without a seatbelt. That's the only difference. But they both taking us to the same destination.
You got one that's taking us to hell at 100 miles an hour, and you got another one that's taking us to hell at 80 miles an hour. What's the difference? You're still going to the same place.
That's
right.
It.
The Obamacare,
right.
All that's designed to do is take more money out of Americans' pockets. That's all that is. They don't really care if you get good health care. Not you or me. The money they spent,
they could have just made a check, made a voucher, so you can go buy health insurance. They could have gave people that couldn't afford it. They could have just made vouchers with the amount of money they spent. That lets you know right there it's not about that.
But Alabama, there's no way you can take over the part of the American economy and grab more power and grab more money that way. So that's
exactly
why we have what we have.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. Now
money,
they're getting
and you
anymore.
Know that.
They got
you know
questions about what are you doing in your sex life, gun controls. It's all types of stuff. Illegals, everything, they pushed it all in there. And I'd rather get a president line item veto ability to be able to go in and cut, which is what it was initially set up to do in the first place before they took it. Nixon had his situation. That's messed up. Now we got these big albatross bills coming through with 40 different stupid things attached to it that we can't take off, and that's the problem. That's because it was set up. I hate to say it, but I ain't gonna say I hate to say it. But
the way Thomas Jefferson set up the Constitution, I think it was great. Without a graduated tax, the way a decentralized government, it was like it was supposed to be. States making all their own decisions. That's how it should have been.
And keeps you thinking of right. Things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, well, good afternoon. Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And I hope you're having a good day today. And I am glad to say that I have Congressman Bill Johnson on with me. And we have everybody's in the queue. I'm going to let him talk with you, so I'm going to mute everybody out except for Congressman Bill Johnson. He is from the 6th Congressional District, which goes down the Ohio River. And hi, Bill. How are you, Congressman?
I'm doing good, Tracy. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Welcome to Tracy and Friends. It's good to have you on with us.
Well,
Mark Mandy's here with us in studio.
Hey, Congressman, how are you?
I am doing very, very well.
Good, good. You take good care of the district?
Well, we're trying. We're certainly trying. You know, we've got quite an issue here. We've got a president and a Senate that have taken their ball and gone home. They're unwilling to come to the table and talk about the issues that are important to the people in eastern and southeastern Ohio, and that's very disturbing.
I'm watching this stuff on television, Congress, but it looks a little nasty.
Well, it is a little nasty, and you know it flies in the face of the very system of divided government that we have in America. I mean, there are 435 duly elected U.S. representatives that are sent to Washington as the voice of the American people, and the Constitution demands that the Senate and the President come to the table and talk about the issues that are of a concern to the American people. And the American people have made it very, very clear that they're concerned about some major issues, one of them being the Affordable Care Act.
Do you think, Congressman, that the public is looking at the tone of the rhetoric that's coming from the president and his people on down? This is horrible, horrible stuff I'm hearing from them. They're calling lots of names. Jeez, oh, man. No argument on the merits at all, just a bunch of name-calling.
Yeah, it is very disturbing. I was on CNN earlier this morning, and of course, the commentator that interviewed me made that point. She said the president is referring to you and your conservative allies in the U.S. House as extremist. And I said, you know something, Ashley, that's exactly the kind of thing that I came here to change. Calling people names does not produce results. What produces results is sitting down like an adult at the table and putting the issues on the table and walking away with solutions where everybody wins something that they need and they want. That's not what we're seeing right now.
Hey, Congressman, we were having a conversation before you came on.
Sure.
And someone brought up about having a law but then allowing exemptions for certain people in the law. Can you explain that to me?
Absolutely. You know, and first of all, Tracy, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted an opportunity to make that clear. I don't think members of Congress or the president or the vice president or any unelected bureaucrat within the administration should have any kind of exemption or special treatment under the law that the American people don't have. That is fundamentally my foundational belief. Now, the president has simply refused to budge. The health care law placed an exemption for Congress and the members of their staff in the health care law. We sent legislation earlier this week. One of the bills that we sent over to the Senate, Tracy, would have repealed that and would have made members of Congress and their staff have to live by the same rules that the American people do under this health care law. That's the right thing to do, but the president and Harry Reid simply said no.
Congressman, what's the feedback you're getting from your constituents? And I'm one of your constituents. I'm very proud to be from your district. But you know, you go down the river.
Rub it in, why don't you?
Pardon me?
Rub it in, why don't you?
Well, hey, Tracy, you know, what are you hearing from the people in the district?
Well, it's coincidental that you ask, because we had a telephone town hall last night, and at any point in the telephone town hall, we had somewhere around 12,000 people on the line, some 20,000. Some 20,000
wow.
people that were left a voice message. Somewhere around 40,000 people contacted altogether, and I'm going to tell you, last night there was an overwhelming response that said two things. Number one, we don't like the health care law, and we have some real concerns about it. Please continue to fight for us on our behalf to make sure that we have access to our health care. The other thing that they said was that they were very, very concerned about the rhetoric coming out of the White House, the name-calling, the unwillingness to come to the table and negotiate. And I'm going to have to tell you, and I certainly hope my Democrat, your Democrat audience that hears this will understand this is not meant to be a political inflammatory statement, but there were a number of Democrats that came on the line that said, Congressman, we're embarrassed to be Democrats because of what we see coming out of the White House and Senator Harry Reid. Now, they don't agree with me on everything, and I don't expect them to. But they understand that to be adults and to do to be real leaders, you've got to come to the table and talk like adults. And they're concerned about that. So what I'm getting is affirmation to continue doing exactly what we're doing. Make the federal government, make the president and Harry Reid have fairness for all Americans, not just Washington insiders like the president, the vice president, and members of Congress.
Could you talk a little bit about the difference between the continuing resolution and the debt ceiling issue that's coming up in about 2 weeks?
Sure. The continuing resolution is what allows the federal government to spend money. The debt ceiling is what allows the federal government to continue borrowing money. And let me explain a little bit more in detail. In the budget process, we go through the process of enacting a budget. Now, remember, we have not been able to pass a budget in 4 years because we can't get the Senate to come to the table with any viable solutions. They want trillions of dollars of increased taxes and more government spending. Of course, that's not what the people of Eastern and Southeastern Ohio expect me to support, and I certainly don't support that. But that budget process, theoretically, the House passes a budget, the Senate passes a budget, they come to conference, a budget is agreed to, it's passed on to the president, and it's signed into law. That becomes the budget. But that still doesn't authorize spending. The spending is authorized through appropriations bills that then allocate that budget to the various departments. And because we have not been able to pass a budget and accompanying appropriations bills, we've been working from one continuing resolution to the other. And when that continuing resolution ends or reaches the end of the time period, then it has to be either extended, changed, debated, whatever. And that's where we find ourselves, because the continuing resolution ended on the last day of September. So that's what the continuing resolution is. The debt limit, I want to make sure that listeners understand that the debt limit is not the debt. The debt. Envision this, if you will. There's a water tap that is turned on. There is a bucket that is catching the water. That bucket begins to fill up. The water represents the spending that's coming out of the federal government. Now, when that bucket gets full, you've got two choices. You either get a bigger bucket or you let it flow over and run onto the ground. But the real issue is, we're not going to be able to affect America's spending problem until we get to the underlying problem of turning off that water tap. We've got to be able to get cooperation from the Senate and the President to address the mandatory spending that's in the law, because you can't do that through a continuing resolution. And that's exactly what the president has said that he refuses to negotiate on. Can you imagine that? The bucket is full. It's flowing over. We're trying to get the president to come to the table with reforms in the federal government and spending cuts greater than or equal to any conceivable debt limit increase, and he will not even come to the table and discuss that. He says, raise the debt limit, end of conversation. And I can tell you right now, that's not going to happen.
Do you think the American public is finally getting it?
Well, I certainly hope so. I had some conversations with a lot of our grassroots organizations and constituents all across eastern and southeastern Ohio over the last few days. And I've said to them how important it is for everyone through social media, through letters to the editor. You know, the American people need to let their voices be heard. You know, there is a mule-headedness and an arrogancy in Washington, D.C., that I came here to change. I'm not a professional politician. Yes, I'm in my second term, but I was born and raised on a mule farm. I'm a 26-and-a-half-year veteran of the Air Force, a small business owner. I came here to make sure that the people that I represent, the people along the Ohio River, have an effective, efficient federal government that moves the ball forward and creates opportunities for them. And that's what I'm fighting for every day. This mule-headedness and the arrogance that exists in Washington today has got to change. And I have to tell you that some of that exists on both sides of the aisle, but we are seeing it in epic proportions from the president and the Senate.
How are you going? How is this going to end if we don't talk? I'm confused by that, because right now it seems as though the House has been shut out.
Yeah. Well,
and the House passes the budget. So how are they going to end this?
Well, that's a good question, Tracy. That's a good question, and that's the question that the American people are asking, and that's exactly why you've got me on your show right now talking about that issue. The American people are going to have to help the president and Senator Harry Reid understand that they're not going to stand for politics as usual any longer. I mean, the president will stand up and tell the American people that the Republicans are saying, you either give us everything we want or nothing. And nothing could be further from the truth, because over the last week, we have given the Senate not one, not two, not three, but four pieces of legislation to address the concerns that our constituents have sent us there to address. And each one of those solutions have been concessions greater than the previous solution. So we are coming to the table. We are negotiating in good faith, but we're talking to ourselves. So the short answer to your question, Tracy, the president and the Senate must become actively involved in this process.
Can I change subjects just a little bit? Congressman, would you talk a little about the new EPA regulations relating to coal, which has a lot of importance in our district?
You bet. Very, very concerning. These new EPA regulations are going to essentially make it economically impractical and infeasible for energy companies to build and operate a new coal-fired power plant. And by the way, they're mandating compliance standards that are not even commercially viable. The technology is not there to accomplish what they're mandating. It is the craziest thing that you've ever seen. And next year, they're planning on coming out with a new set of rules that's going to hit existing coal-fired power plants. We've got six coal-fired power plants in eastern and southeastern Ohio, and thousands of jobs are dependent upon those plants, not to mention the affordable, reliable energy that comes from those plants that power our manufacturing base, what's left of it. I mean, you talk about wanting to get manufacturing back. For crying out loud, taking the energy source off the grid and causing skyrocketing prices in energy, that is certainly not going to produce the results of bringing manufacturing back to the Mahoning Valley. Tim Ryan and I, Congressman Tim Ryan, there are people that say that, that Republicans and Democrats can't work together. Well, I'll tell you that Congressman Tim Ryan and I have worked together to encourage the Energy Department to begin opening up opportunities to export liquid natural gas, and we stand firm in our belief that domestic energy production along the Ohio River, including coal, is a very, very important part of America's energy profile. So the EPA is out of control, just like the administration with this health care law is out of control.
Go ahead.
What can we do to bring the EPA back to reality? I mean, this global warming thing, you know, I've never bought it. I don't buy it now, but you know, it's suffocating the country. It's not global warming that's suffocating the country. It's the EPA that's suffocating the country. Now, look at the Keystone Pipeline. What can we do about this?
Yeah, the regulatory agencies like the EPA have forgotten what their job description is. They seem to think that if they're not releasing a new regulation every day, that they're not doing their job. In reality, their job is to create a regulatory environment that that moves America forward. And that doesn't mean releasing a new regulation every day. And I agree with you 100%. There's a big problem there. Regulatory reform and tax reform are both desperately needed in America if we're going to be competitive in this global economy. But I'll tell you, what do we do about it? What do we do about it? Elections have consequences. Elections have consequences. The EPA and the regulatory agencies work for the chief executive. And let me say this one final thing, if you can bear with me just a second. You look at the Constitution. The Constitution has a lot of very specific instructions, do's and don'ts and how-tos for the legislative branch. In comparison, it has very little instruction to the chief executive. That's because the relationship between the American people from our first president till today has been a relationship largely based on trust. Trust in two things. One, in the character, integrity, and sense of responsibility of the person that we put in the office. And number two, trust in the system of checks and balances within the legislative branch to hold a chief executive in check if they get too far off the reservation. And that both of those are failing in this case.
One more thing before you go. I got to ask you, Congressman. You know, we've done a lot of reading in the last couple of days, and then we have this IRS thing that has seemed somehow gone away but comes back up.
Yeah.
Will we ever start going through the Benghazi IRS metadata, all that kind of stuff? Will we ever get through all of this stuff so we can actually expose this administration for what it is?
Oh, yes, we certainly will, Tracy. That is not by any stretch of the imagination. It is still on the front burner of the oversight and investigating subcommittees for the various committees of jurisdiction. We're going to continue working on those issues. We're not going to stop until the American people get the answers they deserve. Isn't it interesting that the administration sent more people to block our veterans from getting into the World War II Memorial than they sent to help our brave Americans in Benghazi?
That's amazing.
And God bless those veterans for doing what they did.
And they said that they knew, and they tried to keep them open, and they said no.
That's right. That's right. Now they have now said, in defense, the administration has now said that the World War II memorial, the open air memorials, will be okay. That's they're going to be open. Sorry, I got distracted there for a second.
Okay. Okay.
They're going to take the barricades down around the memorials.
Well, I haven't heard that yet, but we'll see what they do. I hate to cut this off, but that distraction was. Yeah, I was just notified that I've got to go vote, so I apologize.
Thanks a lot,
Thanks, Congressman
Johnson. We
appreciate
you. All
right, have a great
you.
Day.
You too. We've been talking to Bill Johnson, and he is a congressman from the 6th congressional district, which goes down the Ohio River. He goes from all the way from Canfield, all the way down to the southern tip of Ohio, if I'm not mistaken.
Almost to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You get to the other part of the district.
Yeah.
You got to drive through West Virginia.
Yeah. So listen, I'm going to come back. I'm going to open up all the phone lines. We can have this conversation. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's open mic. Mark's going to leave me, so don't everybody leave me at the same time. And we'll see you on the other side of my break.
My life. I've never heard more lies in my life.
That's Diva, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know what I'm seeing. It has been passed in a law. They had 3 years. They've tried and tried and tried to get rid of it. They tried to repeal it. It didn't work.
Okay,
and I understand you don't like it. I'm not saying you have to like it. But the fact still remains, you shut down the government over Obamacare or over the Affordable Health Care Act that still went through. This is if you want to shut down the government, shut down the government over a budget, real budget fight. Obamacare has nothing to do with the budget because it still was implemented. And as far as the budget goes, the Senate passed the budget keeping spending at the current sequestration levels. The Ryan budget called for how much in spending? $967 billion. The Senate budget that they passed was only about 980-something billion. Okay, so then the House passed their budget. The Senate passed their budget. Go into conference.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans in the Senate filibuster so that Harry Reid could not set up a conference. Now John Boehner at first did not even want to establish a conference. Now he wants to establish a conference, but the only thing he wants to talk about is the Affordable Health Care Act. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is holding this thing up, which is the Affordable Health Care Act that was already passed into law. I'm sorry. I'm confounded. I don't get that.
Let me use your same logic here for a second. And I'm going to tell you this. The Iraq war happened. We went there. Deal with it. How does that sound?
But no one was trying to really fight and stop it. We all were in agreement about going to the Iraq war.
Wait, all of a sudden we were all in agreement?
Yes.
All of a sudden. Wow, that's all it took?
In 2003.
That's amazing.
No, that's because everybody believed in the evidence. No, everybody believed in the evidence that came out of Colin Powell's mouth when he stood in the UN and said this is what's going on. Okay, nobody was in doubt at first, so everyone was like, "Yeah, we have to do something. This must be done."
Yeah. Okay.
But
all right,
but
you know what? The law.
I guess you could say
Obamacare passed. Hold on, Diva. I guess you could say Obamacare passed the same way, too, because it did pass the House and the Senate, and the president did sign it. So I guess you could say the same thing about that, right?
No, because when everybody started coming up with when all the lies started coming out, we realized, wait a minute, we were duped into the Iraq war.
Oh, wait, what about all the lies of Obamacare?
Wait a minute, but you didn't see Democrats trying to hold up and shut down the government because we couldn't get that war defunded. We couldn't – well, the war wasn't
defunded. Well, they tried to defund that war. Absolutely, they did.
Okay, but they never shut down government on their disagreements on ideology.
They threatened
to,
absolutely.
Okay, but they didn't.
Okay, well, either did the Republicans, Harry Reid and Barack Obama, shut down the government because
they
refused to negotiate.
You can spin it all you want.
That's not
all
a spin. They said it. We will not negotiate. They said it, Diva.
You can spin it all you want.
Diva, that's not
a
spin. Did Harry Reid and Barack Obama not say we will not negotiate?
Michelle Bachmann, the queen of the Tea Party caucus in the House, said this is what we want. We did it. We got what we wanted. She was talking about a shutdown. The Republicans were talking about shut it down, shut it down, shut it down.
When did Bachmann say that? Where can I find that, Diva? Where can I find that? Yeah. Saying that.
Go to her website.
I believe that was Barack Obama's email that said that.
No, it was not President Obama's email. He said he was not going to negotiate on the Affordable Health Care Act. It's a done, it's wrapped. He said he don't mind negotiating on the numbers when it comes to the budget. If they want to go down to the 957th Paul Ryan's plan, we can find a way to do it. But he will not negotiate.
Guess what's part of the budget, Diva? Okay. Guess what's part of the budget? Obamacare.
No, it's not. No.
Oh, yes,
if
it
Obamacare
is.
Was part, if Obamacare was part of the budget, how did it still get implemented?
How did
that is paid for by itself.
No.
It's still going to go through.
Diva.
It is paid for through the Medicare tax, the medical equipment tax, and it's paid from when he took money from Medicare Part D, I believe.
The continuation of Obamacare.
With the penalty.
Mm-hmm. The continuation.
Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
I really don't even know how to talk about it. I really don't. Because
it's only a small group of crazies, Diva. It's not the rest of the world
has a clear picture
of what's going on. We have a clear picture of what's going on. It's only a few nutballs and screwballs that they're sitting here arguing about themselves or to themselves about it. Everybody already know who shut it down, why it was shut down. We already know.
No, you
here,
already know because you.
Yeah, everybody already knows.
Of what's going on.
You guys were jumping on. You guys been saying shut it down, shut it down. I'm so glad it's shut down.
I didn't say shut
now
it down. I said I'm happy to shut down. I never said it down.
Now you guys are trying to find a way to spin it and say, wait a minute, because you don't hear Democrats saying, yeah, shut it down, let it shut down. You didn't hear that coming from Democrats.
Only in the emails.
You heard them say, no, you didn't. President Obama said he will not negotiate on the Affordable Health Care Act. It's done. It's a wrap. Take it off the table. I will negotiate on the numbers, but I will not negotiate over this. How can he give up something that he campaigned on that the voters overwhelmingly voted for?
Diva, you cannot run court by yourself. And they did not overwhelmingly vote for health care because they voted for him.
They didn't overwhelmingly vote at all. There was
Diva, just because I vote for you doesn't mean I agree overwhelmingly with all the policies that you did. And you are forgetting, Diva, there was a sensationalized vote within the Electoral College that showed that they were saying that there was voter suppression, and if you didn't vote for President Obama, Romney's going to put y'all back in chains. Remember that comment?
Okay, but if I vote for a Democrat,
Diva,
I'm voting for
you were a Democrat. You were going to vote for President Obama no matter what. You could have found him sleeping with little boys in the back room, and you still would have voted for him.
Listen to what you're saying. If I vote for a Democrat, I'm voting for abortion, even though I don't agree with it. But if I vote for a Democrat, I don't necessarily agree with Obamacare.
Diva,
that's what you said. They voted for Obama, that doesn't mean they voted for the Affordable Health Care. But if I vote for a Democrat,
so
I'm
Diva,
voting for
Diva, tell me, no, listen, right. Diva, listen to this. Listen to how ironic and how crazy this sounds. I'm going to give you the Affordable Health Care Act, but I want an extension. I want to be having an exemption from it.
They're not exempted from the exchanges. Their employer,
Diva,
which is the federal government, they're exempted from having to pay for
Diva.
Everything out of their pocket because their employer
Diva.
Is paying for it.
They do not want the federal government to be a part of the Affordable Health Care Act.
Oh, my gosh. Act. Now you're
my
just
God.
Lying. You need to be more informed. You can be all you want, but you're not informed at all.
They are exempt from the – so are their unions. There are businesses who have gotten exemptions from the Affordable Health Care Act.
Tell me why. No, they're not. They're exempted from the mandate. That's what they're exempted. They're exempted from the mandate. And you guys keep crying about this mandate, but the Supreme Court has already said they can't even force you to purchase the insurance.
Diva.
Now,
Diva,
the ironic part was,
Diva, why would you, Diva, why in,
come out
of for the clouds, darling. Tell me
no,
why
you
would have.
No, you need to get your head
Diva,
out of the sand, for real.
Diva, answer the question, I'm not trying to be partisan on this. What I'm asking you is, why would you have anything and then say, I don't want to be a part of it?
That's not what they're saying.
Diva, I'm going to give you Social Security, but I'm going to have my own pension program where it's not going to be a part of that. I'm just overall.
Wait a minute.
Hold on, Diva. I'm going to give you Social Security, but I'm going to have OPRS. I'm going to have STRS. I'm going to have the answer that.
wait a minute. Social Security is not the problem here. We're talking about health care.
No. Diva, it's all the same. It's all the same. I'm not trying to pick on the president.
They don't like no health care.
All the same.
You are. Yeah, you are.
They don't like no
health
care, Diva.
It's genuine.
It makes no sense, Diva. It makes no sense. They're not going to win on this argument. They cannot win. This is freaking retarded. You're arguing with people that's making no sense on purpose. They cannot win. They're shutting down the hell of the hostages because they can't get their way. And then what are the people going to do? They're going to get into this to the terrorists today for 6 weeks, and then what the terrorists going to do in the next 6 weeks? On week seven, what are they going to do? You gonna give it to him again? You cannot wait. You cannot negotiate with these people.
I'm going insanity. I can't handle insanity. Hi, South Carolina. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Tracy.
How you doing?
You're having a lively conversation here. I see.
Yeah, I don't understand. I just don't think people realize that they're tap dancing on the American people and don't nobody care. Whether it be Obamacare, whether it be Social Security, and the federal pension program. I mean, it's all the same. How you gonna give me something and then say you don't want no part of it?
Yeah, I think I think that needs to be a part of the movement
conversation.
That Liberty Amendment. One of the things is Congress should not be able to write any laws that excludes them from the same effects that incurs on their constituents. So,
that's what I'm saying. It's all the same. Social Security, PRS, health care. I mean, how you going to write something for me and then say, no, I don't want you drink this pill. I ain't going to drink none of that. No, I don't mess with that. You eat meat, I don't eat meat. Come on now. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, congressional staffers, they're trying to get out of being forced into these exchanges, but they want to say it's good for us.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I can't. Oh, I can't. No, I can't drink that. You drink it.
You guys
I have my own special
sense.
Cup.
You guys are making no sense on purpose. Do you want me to break this down and explain it to you in simple English? Do you want me to get my crayons out?
You couldn't explain
this
to me in simple English if you had a dictionary.
Yeah, do you want me to get my crayons out? Okay, you have a job. You and I have a job, right? We work at X Corporation. And F Corporation pays our health care. I'm going to try to explain it to you so you can understand it, so you don't have to go crazy here.
Come on.
You and I work at X Corporation. The corporation is paying 75% of our health care. We pay a deductible out of every paycheck. That's the way it works in regular corporate America. That's you and I. We're working at X. Now, the people who work for Congress is working for corporation, the U.S. government, who currently pays for 70% of the health care, and they take the rest out of their deduction. You pay for the rest out of your deduction, just like everybody else. The park rangers, the police service, everybody else do the same thing. All of a sudden, they want the Congress to say, okay, we're going to put you on the Affordable Health Care Act, but we're no longer going to pay your subsidized 70% like everyone else, like the park rangers and everybody else. They want them to say, you have to qualify for health care as if you had no health care from an employer. And if you meet the particular 50,000 a year threshold or whatever it is, then all of a sudden you can qualify for subsidies. But since they work for the federal government, they make it more that they don't qualify for subsidies anymore. So they have to pay not 25% of health care. Now they have to pay 100% of health care. They're not doing that they're not saying to the park rangers or to the security guard work at the post that he has to pay 100% of his, but all of a sudden they want the Congress people to pay 100%.
Can I tell you where you're wrong, where you got your facts completely discombobulated? See, the thing is that no company that you work for pays for your health care. They don't pay 75% or any percent. What you're getting is a discount for a group rate because a company they bring more business to the insurance company, and so the insurance company will give a discount rate because they're bringing more business.
Okay,
you got to wait. Let him finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
So basically, the whole premise that you're saying that it's forcing them to pay 100% when they're only paying 25 or whatever, it's just completely false. Because what's happening is it's just you're getting insurance companies offer a discounted rate for it's just like for anything else for the for more customers. But
okay, stop right there. Okay, stop right there.
No, let him finish.
No,
I said and let him finish, and then I'll let you refute what he said.
And so when you're looking at the federal government, okay, they're asking for people just because they're in the government, they want special favors. They don't want to be treated like everyone else who works for regular companies. They want their special insurance. They don't want to have to deal with the same regulations that everyone else has to deal with just because they feel like they rule over us, and that's the issue.
Okay, you finished.
Sorry,
right?
But there are huge.
Stop Diva, no. Diva, you're not
stop
in this
confusing.
One. Go ahead, Kobe,
yeah,
man.
Stop confusing yourself. Because what you try to do is, I was sitting here talking logic, and I was telling you about how you work for X Corporation, and they pay for 75% of your health care costs, your insurance. That's what they pay for. Now, all of a sudden, you came along, and you switched the channel, and you started talking about we're not talking about insurance anymore. We're talking about the actual cost of health care and something else. That's not what we were talking about. I was on something logic here. I was talking about the health insurance that everyone is getting. So if you work for the government, you get the same thing if you and I were working for X Corporation. I broke out my crayon. I was trying to explain it to you logically. All of a sudden, you change the channel. Can we stay on the same subject? 75% versus and 25%. That equals 100%. Now, all of a sudden, they're saying, no, you don't get the 75% anymore. You've got to pay the 100%.
I don't think you just don't understand how insurance works, because no company pays for your medical insurance. That's just not how it works, and you just don't understand what's going on.
Companies,
that's not what happens.
Can pay a portion of their premiums.
No, they don't. That doesn't happen.
No, they don't.
Y'all work for?
Because, Diva,
you've
never been on the side of ownership. You're not listening how this works.
What big company have you ever owned?
Diva, what do you think I do now?
Small businesses may not pay a portion, but they get a discounted rate. I sold insurance before. They get a discounted rate. But these big
and that's what I said.
They pay
what
you said,
a discounted rate.
I work for a big...
No, sorry,
that's what
sweetheart.
I just said, Diva. I said they get a discounted rate because they're bringing more business to the insurance company. But the companies are not paying for anybody's health insurance.
You pay for your own. And it's subsidized. They may add on to you. And it depends. And if you work for the government, then they pay for a part of your insurance, of the premium of it. That's how that works. Go ahead, 831, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. This is Bonnie. I missed the beginning, and I don't know if Mark was talking, because today I thought you guys were going to talk about money.
Congressman Johnson came on.
And I did hear that, so thank you. That was nice. But I've been self-employed many, 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 many years. If you bring more people, if you own a company and you bring more people, Alex is exactly right. You have 7 employees, you'll pay a higher, those employees will pay higher insurance rates. You might get it better than an individual, but the company that has 300 employees, he's getting a super better rate than you are as a small businessman with 7 employees. The employees are still paying that. You take it out of their paycheck. And it is if the law hasn't changed, because I've been self-employed, working for companies that were individuals, but now I'm self-employed myself and it's just me. But the companies that I worked for, the employee was able to take that premium out of their gross pay without paying taxes on it. So that was their little break, maybe. Because it was a non-taxable, it was like a 401k amount. And unless they've changed the law, and they possibly could have, because that was at least 10, 11 years ago.
It's still the same. It classifies as a deduction. So you're allowed to deduct it without it counting towards your taxes. You know,
exactly like Walmart. Walmart's employees would pay probably less because there's more in the group. And individual compared to, say, if I hired 3 or 4 girls to come work for me, or guys, I guess I can't be discriminative, but, you know, Tracy, you triggered something in that last comment about, you know, these political congressmen, they don't want that for their families. They don't want their little daughter on that kind of health care plan. But it's okay that I have to put my babies on that, and that's as good as it gets. And they tell me how much it's going to cost, and they tell me what my deductible is, and I have absolutely no control on any of it. The other thing is that is absolutely, you know, when the Supreme Court said, oh, it's not unconstitutional, you know, Diva made that comment. And, you know, come on. It's telling somebody, you can come eat in my restaurant, but you take the back door. That's exactly discriminatory.
You can eat my food, but I'm not eating it. Hello?
Exactly.
Anybody that doesn't eat at their own restaurant, you know something's wrong.
Right. Exactly. You know, I have felt this way many times about the flu shot. You know, this is another subject. But let's just think of it in simple terms, what we do every day. You know, you go to a pharmacist or you ask a doctor, is he giving his kids McDonald's every day? You know, are these physical trainers that train our kids, like, say, on the football field? How do they run their lives? You know, we need to pay attention to what we're really saying here. You know, they make some things affordable, Tracy, because they know there are suppressed and poor people in the world. And they do this on purpose. They do it on purpose because they don't want us doing for ourselves. We are dangerous when we read, when we learn, when we work, when we have weapons, when we raise our children, when we stay together as husband and wives. We are stronger, and they don't like it. And
getting them to understand this is a problem.
It's very, and you know what, I've listened to your show, and you've been trying faithfully to get that message across. You have good people on here talking, and, you know, I really feel, I mean, there's a lot of compassion going out to your listeners who feel that extreme feeling, like Diva, for not realizing how this could harm her. Kavita Man, how this could hurt them. You know, that's the reason I call in, because I don't want to see anybody jump off a bridge. I don't want anybody being lied to and believing it. This is the absolute biggest crime I have ever seen and heard about in. And this is a distraction. This is a number one distraction. If you would have looked at every single TV program last night, you know, they were all going on about, you know, how the Republicans. Who are they going to blame if the Republican Party just folds up?
But let me say this. But you know, Bonnie, and I got to go back to Diva and the Covina Man in South Carolina and all them that are on the line. And Alex, this is not about Republican and Democrat.
No, it's
this is
not.
About have and have not. And what's
absolutely
happening is,
Tracy,
people who have not, they keep you illiterate and they keep you uninformed, so that, because I'm not, as we said, some of the Republicans are not doing what they should. This is about leadership. And as Mark said earlier, there isn't a whole lot of leadership going on here.
Like I said,
but
yesterday,
how are you going to fill,
I'm
how you going to feed me some food? And you say, well, no, I'll eat my own cooking. Come on.
Right.
And this is more than just affordable health care. This is Social Security. This is retirement funds. Even with the shutdown, how in the world do you lay people off on furlough and then go back them up and pay them for the day they've been laid off, yet the American worker gets laid off day after day, year after year, and they get nothing?
And Tracy,
and then you may or may not get unemployment.
I don't get paid. It's just with me. I don't show up for work. I don't get paid.
Yeah, but see, when you work for me and I lay you off, you might get unemployment and you might not. But how do they get back money when they come back? And yet you're going to shut down a government until Congress gets paid.
And I can guarantee you, if the truth be known, they won't even get this taken away from their vacation time.
They won't.
So, you know, this is a bigger vacation. I mean, really. They're never going to want to come back to work.
They're not hurting.
No, they're not. No, they're not. And I heard somebody...
They're working without pay?
Right. Well, last night, it was late in the evening. RTTV, which comes out of Russia, they were talking about this like it was some big catastrophe. And I'm telling you, I listened for about 3 minutes, and I was absolutely enraged. I couldn't sleep for another hour because I'm thinking these people are as bad as them. And what is it, MSNBC or whatever, whoever they are? I mean, it's just a silliness. It's like a huge soap opera.
I think that what it is if you use the previous election as an example, that there are people in the country, I was on the right wing, that really live in a bubble in which the rest of us don't live in. They have a bubble of information from where they get it, it's various sources, but the rest of the world lives in a completely different reality. So we hear information that I would consider, this is my personal bias of view, that we're in reality. Right-wing people have their own reality. It doesn't fit. So when you hear something on the TV, it might disturb you because all of a sudden you're hearing information that's not from your bubble.
I'm living
on the real world.
Listen, what I'm saying to you is,
no,
this is not. I'm trying to come out of partisanship. This is not about my little bubble. I can tell you Republicans do some dumb, wrong things. I can tell you the Democrats do some right, good things. I can say that out of my mouth and not quiver when I say it. But what I'm saying is some of the laws that are being passed in Congress right now are destroying everyday common folk. And if you can't see that,
I can't disagree with you on what... I can't disagree with you on what you just said, but
and what I'm saying is the affordable
laws
the,
are being passed out of Congress right now.
Covina
nothing
man.
Is being passed out of Congress.
Covina man,
nothing
the
being passed
affordable
out of Congress for like 4 years.
The affordable health care. Covina man,
two Congresses. Yes.
Listen, the Affordable Health Care Act, the also known as Obamacare.
Correct.
This is not. Listen, I'm all for people getting access to health care. But what I'm saying is the way that it is written and how this is going to play out in the long run, even though they are politicizing people's health, it's going to hurt poor people before it hurts wealthy.
Now, poor people are the ones signing up for it, Tracy. The wealthy aren't signing up for it.
Listen to me.
I'm listening, but I'm telling you. I'm giving you some facts.
Listen, I'm telling you what is true.
It's your opinion.
The people.
I'm giving you some.
No, this is.
Opinion.
This is not about opinion.
What is it about?
This is about. It's about quality of health care.
Okay, the people who don't have health care are the ones that are signing up for it.
Covina man, right now, if you go to the best hospitals in the world without any insurance, you're going to be seen about by some of the best doctors in the world. But the way they have structured this bill and the way this thing is happening, they're going to socialize this medicine or socialize the healthcare system to where poor people will not have access to the best doctors in America anymore.
They don't have access now.
Yes, they do.
Diva, you
with your broke self went to one of the best hospitals in the state, got taken care of, had a private room, and is doing well right now.
Tracy.
They did not lay you up and not make you wait for a doctor.
Tracy. If you are in bad shape, all they can do, see, okay, me, I was indigent, so I qualify for Medicaid. They knew I was going to qualify for Medicaid. They knew that they were going to get paid. But if you are
you
don't qualify for Medicaid, you don't have insurance, all they're going to do is They're going to stabilize you and send you home. I've seen it done to too many people. I know
Diva,
that is true. I know
Diva, that's not true.
Who's done because all the
you lie.
Search would not perform this.
You're
time.
Lying.
You're
lying,
show.
Diva. Diva, you have lied. And I can prove you lied.
Tracy, you're right. I can back
you
up.
You lied, Diva.
No. If you want to
I can back
you
up.
Diva, because I don't qualify for Medicaid. I don't qualify for any of that, and I'm not on the system, and I didn't have health care, and I was uninsurable, and I have one of the best doctors of MS in the state. Don't tell me that. And I'm a broke black woman.
None whatsoever.
How does the doctor get paid is the question.
Hold on. He asked the question. They have foundations through the hospitals that take care of people who are uninsured, underinsured, and indigent. But don't tell me that we don't have access to health care. All you got to do is go and find it.
But nobody can deny other people can give out charity, but in certain states, they have Medi-Cal.
No.
I'm giving you a fact.
Oh, listen, I lived in California, sweetheart. I've lived in Ohio.
Medi-Cal, right? We have Medicare.
What I'm telling you is, Covina man.
Yes, ma'am.
What I'm telling you is, the Affordable Health Care Act is going to diminish the quality of care of health in America.
Okay, that's their opinion.
Go ahead.
Oh, Tracy, this is Bob. Big Bob.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I just turned the radio on in my car. I wanted to chime in. I have health care, okay? And I have a $10,000 deductible. And because of my income level, I was my wife works, and I was on workers' compensation. I qualified for a grant to pay my deductible for my chemo. Hello?
Here, go ahead.
So even though I had health care, there are means out there to provide it.
Absolutely. They've got patient assistant programs all over the place for your prescriptions as well as your health care. You just got to get off your duff and go get it.
Tracy, you're absolutely right.
With some medical debt, but I'm on payment schedules with that. But where's the issue where people don't have health care? I don't understand.
The problem is you're going
to
diminish the quality. Diva, you're going to diminish the quality of health. The problem is the way the law is written, they are going to diminish the quality of health. They're going to mandate you pay for something that's not going to be good. You're going to wait in lines, and if you don't pay it, you're going to pay more when it comes to your taxes. That is going to be a problem, and we're going to feel the effects of it. I'm going to take a...
Hello?
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Hold on. Here's the thing about the employee. See, this is why I can't trust people, because when you lie about obvious facts, that lets me question your motive and I can't trust you. I just pulled up an article from the Kaiser Foundation that explained employer-based health care. You sit up here and you say employers do not contribute. Most employers, especially big companies, contribute a portion. They subsidize their employees' premiums. This is what's going on. This is the argument that's going on in Congress. They've always had their insurance, their premium subsidized. They always were able to pick different plans. That's how we ended up with the exchanges, because they wanted to mimic what Congress had. Now, Senator Grassley says, well, I'm passing an amendment to embarrass the Democrats. Why don't we all go into exchanges? Which the exchanges were only meant and created for people who couldn't get employer-based health care or who couldn't buy health care if they didn't have a job and couldn't get on Medicaid. But now when they realize, oh, wait a minute, they're going to lose that subsidy on their premium, so let's fix that. Because it's no fair that if they work for a company, they can't get their premium subsidized. But if somebody, say, like I or Kavina Man or you work for a company, our company is subsidizing our premiums. Now, if that wasn't the case, then how come all Applebee's, Papa John's and all of them, they all talk about they have to lay off workers because of the cost of Obamacare. They have to now put everyone on insurance, which is going to make their cost go up. So now they're saying they have to lay everybody off. If they didn't pay for insurance, if people pay for it out of their pocket, they wouldn't have that problem.
Right. That's exactly what you said, exactly what I just said. And this retarded, I don't know who that dude was sitting there talking about we just get a deductible. I was going to say to the guy, maybe that's the way it works in your state. I don't know, because different states, people might live in red states where they might ban, you know, insurance or something like that. They want everybody on the street. I don't know. But
you can't even hear straight, because I didn't say anything about a deductible.
But this retarded get on here and start talking about we, and Diva and I have a simple logic about what the heck is going on. This retarded come over here and turn the channel,
hey,
talking about something.
Hey,
different.
Kavina, man, look, you don't really have to get juvenile and start name calling is really unnecessary. We can have a conversation, a debate.
I was trying to have a conversation. You changed the channel,
dude.
Nobody's
changing the channel. It's simple as this. Yes, the new Obamacare law now requires employers to pay into health care, but I'm saying traditionally.
No, Alex. Diva, no.
Explain it to you, man.
If you go into the exchanges, you lose the employer contribution. That changed. If you go into exchanges, you don't get employer contribution.
Diva, that's not true.
But I employ you. That's the biggest thing why. Corporations and companies are so competitive in getting employees because of the benefits, not because of the pay, but because of the benefits. If I offer you a cheaper insurance, a cheaper premium, if I'm paying more for your premium, I'm going to get you more so than my competitor is. And now you guys try to switch it up and try to make everyone be crazy.
Diva, it's because they have more employees. Walmart has better premiums for their corporation than, a hospital.
But stop right there. Okay, stop right there. Let's go with that.
The employer still
Bonnie,
subsidizes their premium.
Right, exactly. Go with that. If Walmart, they get a better rate. How much of the rate does Walmart pay to the employer? What is the percentage does Walmart pay?
I'm saying when you group a large group of people together, and they all are paying into an insurance policy, they can almost become self-insured.
But okay,
they
but I'm asking you a question.
How can I even hear it, Kavita, with Diva going off like this? I can't even hear your question.
All right, go ahead, Kavita. I'm sorry.
And Alex is right. I'm done. You guys are just yelling over each other, and you can't have a conversation like that.
How do you think we feel when we're on the line and that's done to us while we're live?
You don't have to feel like you're defending yourself. If you have been misinformed.
I'm just defending myself. This is not about me, and I'm not misinformed. I'm trying to tell you, get your
Diva,
hands off the stand.
I was a
you're
billing clerk.
You're telling me a bold-faced lie.
Yeah,
I didn't call you a liar.
I didn't call you a liar.
No, we're done.
You don't have to say I'm a liar, but saying that no,
I didn't call you that.
When you say no, you're wrong, that means you're implying that I'm lying.
Diva, I was a billing clerk for a company.
I bill for insurance too. I'm a Renaissance woman. I've had every single job you can imagine, Bonnie. I build insurance companies too. That doesn't have anything to do with.
Okay, then Diva, then you will know. Then you will know this truth. If you did billing, you will know this truth. Let's have three patients come into a building. They all need the same care. One of them is a self-pay. He has no insurance. I'm going to use men because I'm just going to make them all men. The other one is on Medicaid. The other one is on a private insurance plan. I work for a hospital. I work for someplace. And I'm billing an insurance company for the care that they receive. They all have the same operation. The one that's indigent gets the hospital or the place I'm billing for. They pay a certain amount. The self-employed person pays a different amount. And the person on Medicaid, the company says, Medicaid says, we're not going to pay $4,000 for his surgery. We're going to only pay $1,100 for his surgery. The problem with our health care in America was not the individual. The problem with our health care in America was that the insurance companies dictated to the providers of service to the individual, to the patient, same surgery, but Medicaid said, I'm not paying you $4,000. You're going to take $1,000 for doing that surgery. The one that says,
Bonnie,
the one that says they're Blue Cross Blue Shield. I have to finish. Blue Cross Blue Shield. He pays $4,000. Then the poor guy who has no health care, he pays a portion.
What do you know, Bonnie? Blue Cross Blue Shield is network to pay, that they will pay a certain amount. The health care provider
I'm talking
will
about insurance company.
Okay, but the health care provider will bill each person the same. Now, the person out of pocket has to pay that entire amount. The personal private insurance, the insurance company is contracted that they will only pay a certain
amount. I am sorry, Diva.
They pay
more. I'm sorry, but if you have Medicaid, Medicaid does not pay. If there are three doctor's offices.
Medicaid does pay. They pay at a cheaper rate. That's why most doctors
there you go. That's
with
it.
Medicaid. But that
there you go. There it is.
Private insurance is not
just
made up for $1,000.
I just said
they'll
that,
pay
Diva.
Maybe a portion of that too. They just pay a little
just
more
said
than Medicaid and Medicaid.
They will pay less.
Money.
The problem
but
is not with
the
hospitals. It is not with the individuals who need insurance. It's not with them. The problem is with the insurance company dictating to providers and vice versa what they will pay.
And you
someone
know what,
that's
Bonnie,
on
I'm
Medicaid.
I'm not gonna disagree with you at. Nobody's gonna disagree with you on that. But right now we're talking about the Affordable Health Care Act. We're talking about we were having a discussion about Congress and their so-called exemption, which is not an exemption. They still have to go into the exchanges like everyone else. Actually, they're forced into the exchanges where everybody else is not forced. We have a choice in it. They don't. Now they're losing their employer subsidized premium. While you, who anybody else who works for a company who provides that, can still get it, but they lost it because Senator Grassley. So now Congress decided to rectify it. Wait a minute, the government's an employer. We're going to treat you just like we're going to treat any of our other employees. We're still going to subsidize your premium even if you go into health care, because they shouldn't even be on exchanges because their employer already provided them with health care. It was a political ploy, and can't nobody see that? That was stupid to force them in the exchanges. You're not forced to go in exchanges. No one else with a job is forced to go in exchanges unless your insurance does something wacky, and you're like, you know what, I have no choice but to go in exchange. But everybody's out of whack because of Congress. The unions are upset because they got the exemption where they don't have to pay the mandate. Why they don't have to pay the penalty for the mandate for the next 5 years? Because they already have a contract with the jobs. And it's going to interfere with their contracted insurance. That's why they're upset. They're not upset about the exchanges. They're not upset about the health care law. They're upset about how this mandate is going to work. I don't think anybody truly agrees with the mandate. But guess what? That's what we got. Why? Because Republicans were acting like a-holes. They didn't want to come to the table and try
Diva?
To figure this thing out.
Diva?
So the Democrats had to pass it on their own.
Diva. Diva. It was done wrong on both sides, period, up front. But now it's just bad. And whether you like it or not, you got to be honest about that. Yeah, they played bad ball, and it's like the Indians. They got to the playoffs, and they didn't make it. Hear me what I'm saying. It's a bad bill, and this bad bill is going to hurt Americans. If we're not careful, and it's going to hurt poor Americans more than it will people with means. And when I say means, I'm not talking about the upper 1-2%. I'm talking about people who can afford to go out and have private physicians and private hospitals. And we need to pay attention to this. And I'm tired of, you know, we saying, well, you know, they're doing this because it's not about the exchanges. It's about the quality of care. And it's more than just Affordable Health Care Act. It's about everything. People need to wake up and look at what they do and how they pass these laws, and they make it better for them but not better for us.
How is it I got good quality care being on government health care? I mean, government insurance.
Because,
I got great,
Diva,
excellent quality.
But guess what? It's going to change.
Thank you, Tracy. It's going to that part.
Diva,
it's going to change.
Diva,
right.
You're not listening.
Medicaid, so
it's going to change. That's what you're not hearing. It's going to change.
Okay. And how is it going to change?
Because the quality of care that you get, because of the regulations, because of the mandate, because of the things that are going on with the affordable health care, if you thought insurance was bad at one time, you ain't seen nothing yet. Have you heard about
private insurance?
Diva, you talk more than you listen. My question is, have you heard about Walter Reed Hospital inside of Maryland and how bad it was a couple years ago?
Yes.
Was that a government-run hospital?
Yes, but all military hospitals...
No. Diva, there was a yes or no answer. Do you know how many... Hold on. Do you know how many veterans are still waiting to get answers back on their benefits right now across the country?
Hmm.
Do you realize you've got veterans from the Vietnam War still waiting to hear on their benefits? And we've had three or four wars since then. Yes, South Carolina.
Hey, Tracy, I've got a guy that lives right here where I'm at. This case finally came through. His case started in February of 1973, and he finally got awarded.
This is not about Republican and Democrat.
No.
This is about the government has never touched Diva. The government has never touched anything and made it good. Nothing. And when you have bad bills, Diva, Social Security is broke. Because they took the money from Social Security that you're paying into, they put it into the general fund, and now they can't pay for that either. Medicare is broke. The country is in major debt, not counting Medicare and Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security.
I just wish y'all would be more honest about what you're truly feeling, because deep down inside, this is not about all the things you're talking about. This is about
Diva, I am not your congressman. I'm not talking as a politician.
I know
you're trying to get you to vote Republican.
You're trying to talk in a secular way.
Diva, listen. This is not about politics. This is about people.
I didn't say it was about politics. This is about world order, socialized.
No, Diva, it's about people. It's about people. This is not about somebody trying to get somebody elected. I ain't got a horse in this race. This is about people.
Tracy, I believe you. I believe you truly care about people. I truly believe that. And I was wrong when I first called the show and said that you didn't, because I've seen coming on the show you did. But the rest of them, I'm not so sure about.
I cannot speak to everybody else. I can only try to get people to think. And right now, whether they be Republican or Democrat, they're flushing the American public down the crapper. And we're sitting up there giving them the handle and talking about it's a new we riding in the boat that used to be in the toilet bowl boat. We riding around thinking we in the ocean or somewhere because it's blue. And we in the toilet. And until we wake up and find out that this is not an ocean and they get ready to flush us down, and while they sit there and look at it and wave, then we're all going to lose. It's about education, not just education inside of getting a college degree, but being able to read your pay stub when you get it. How can you have that many people unemployed? You can't live on welfare for the rest of your life, not become anything. They don't want you to have anything. And now we've tied our health care to a system that's already broken, and these guys are trying to jump ship before the ship even takes off. Say, you got the ship, I'll watch it from the dock. No! This is not politics. This is people.
You know, Tracy, what upsets me is that I'm working. You know, I didn't apply for Medicaid. And thank God I'm healthy enough I don't need to. But there may be a day when I have. And when I get to a certain age, it'll be mandatory that I do. Because I believe still, isn't it that a certain age you must apply for Medicaid or something like that? Or
I don't know. All I know is when I get there, it won't be there.
Well, Tracy, if when you turn 65, whatever health care you got is voided, and you have to go on Medicare. Period.
Thank you. I wasn't sure.
I know a guy who's got who's retired policeman. He's no. Listen to what I'm saying, Diva. I know a guy whose wife, he's a retired policeman. His wife is 3 years younger than him. When they kicked him off, it also kicked her off. So he had to go out and get COBRA for her, which was $864 a month, which they did not have. And he was better off in getting the plan from his retirement. And they just kicked him off. The government made him do that. So, I mean, you know, listen, the government, when the government runs some stuff, okay, and it becomes active in it, and politicians start to play and do their thing, it ruins everything. It even screws up war. I mean, you have more guys that have been killed because of politicians than because of the enemy. And that's the truth. I mean, you know, politicians, they get in there and they want to do their thing and we're going to make it all better. You know, they're like little guys that stand in a research facility and tell everybody else how much better their lives will be if they do it the way that they tell them to. But yet they know that if they tried it, it wouldn't work. It's crazy. We're just a bunch of lab rats.
Let me throw this into the mix. Let me say this to you. Hold on. Then I'm going to let everybody else go ahead. But when I talk about people, you know, there are certain areas of the country. I'm heading up the hill. I'm getting ready to flip over the 50-yard line, which means I'm going to get a Buckeye card and an AARP magazine in a minute, and I don't like neither one. But if we don't start making it better for our future, hear me what I'm saying. The children that we have will not have the life that we want them to have. And if you look at how people take care of seniors, some of these extended care facilities for senior citizens, they are atrocious. And if you don't have anything, they're going to put you in one, whether you like it or not, because your family can't give you the quality of care that you deserve and or need. And the last thing I want to do is sit around in a dirty diaper as an adult and go out of this life with no dignity. And what they're doing to the American electorate right now is making sure that they take care of theirs, but they say screw the American people. And that's just wrong. If we don't start taking responsibility, whether you are for it or against it, but they are playing games with our lives. That includes the president, that includes Congress, that includes the House of Representatives, that includes the Senate and the Supreme Court. And all of the cabinet members.
And you can include the private industry in it.
Diva, no, listen to what I'm saying. See, the private industry, I really don't care about, because if I'm private enough, I can go create my own private. But I have a problem with mandates and rules and regulations coming down the pike telling me that I can't be successful because I've got to be equal. While they go off and the sunset, where in the world can you go in the public business and be broke and come out rich? Go ask your senators. I ain't never seen nobody go into Congress broke and come out wealthy. And yet you're going to give them almost a $200,000 pension for the rest of their life. They're not going to be mandated, and they've got a guaranteed pension that never goes bankrupt because it's funded by broke tax dollars.
Well, if you're only making $50,000 a year, you'd be elected to Congress, and you become a senator making, what, $174,000 or something
a year? Diva, look at what they make walking into the door. Look at where they come from. Look at their background. These are not blue bloods that are sitting in Congress and sitting in the Senate. And when they retire out of the Senate, walking down there, and they got gas masks and everything else on, and look how wealthy they retire. They brush that under the rug.
So we get mad because our senators and our congresspeople get paid well.
Diva, sweetheart, you are missing the point. The point is they are screwing.
What your argument?
They're screwing you with no Vaseline, and it's the American people that are losing because they're going to put you in a pine box. They're going to burn you up and say sorry and send you $250 to your family, and if you worked in the service, send you a flag. And we will give them a match.
Here's the problem. Tracy's trying to explain to you this. They are telling you, do as I say, because you can't do as I do, because I'm better than you are. okay? They set themselves up a nice, big, fat, healthy plan for their health care. They're not the ones that's going to be, you know, dying of sickness. They're going to be taken care of. But see, you're the ones. You're below us. You see, we're the kingmakers. We're the people that are going to tell you what to do and how to do it. And you're going to have to listen to what we say, and we're going to be in control because we know better how to run your life than you do. Okay? Yeah, they make $175,000 a year, and we're not saying that there's something wrong with them making that much money. But the problem comes in is when they tell us who aren't making that kind of money that we have to do what they say. And then they want to take yours, but they're not willing to give theirs up. There's not a single person, Nancy Pelosi, Boehner, none of them. They have not said, we're going to vote to end our pay until we stop this whole thing from going. If the American government is not running, then we're going to
stop.
We're not running either. The only one that I know of, there's two of them, and one of them's from the state of South Carolina, Kim Scott, and there's a representative from another state that signed the resolution, and he's donated his money to charity also. Those are the only two I know of.
Ted Cruz. I think it's Ted Cruz, isn't it?
Is it Cruz? Okay.
I think it is.
But these guys are donating their salary. They said they're not going to take a salary until everything gets back to normal.
And when I say their salary, they're still not going to hurt like you.
And
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, Tracy, the other thing is, like, all of us that are working, while we're trying to get to that, I'm just going to use that figure that everybody says, 174,000. Every time we get a little bit close, we start working hard, we put in more hours, we take good care of our kids, we become responsible, and we're looking for that American dream. They come in with some other kind of mandate, regulation, requirement that's going to make our lives better when we don't need them to come and tell us how to make our lives better. We just need them, again, out of our way so we can get to that. And we're not allowed.
Hey, Bonnie.
That's right.
I lost an additional $74 out of my paycheck for health care. But
ours
but
is
$76. No. But I look at it now. It's actually take that number and add another $2,000 to it, because if I go to the doctor instead of a $25 copay, I pay the entire thing now. Until I get $2,000, so my income has dropped $2,000.
Right, and your deductible went to $4,000, didn't it, South?
Yeah, yep.
So when you divide $12 into $4,000, what do you come up with?
So this is
Diva,
you're missing it.
You don't want free health insurance.
Diva, listen to what I'm saying. I will not get free. They'll just take, this is going to take more money out of my pocket and give it to someone else, and I can't afford it. See, the last thing I can afford is another bill. And right now, they're going to and what they're doing is, instead of, I'm not sick, so they're going to take another bill, and they're going to take it from me and increase my deductible so that now I'm taking more money out of no raise. I'm paying more taxes everywhere.
You complain about the cost of your health insurance and health care, but you don't want to have a system where you don't have to pay anything.
You can't have a system.
We're not getting it for free.
There's no such thing.
We're not getting it for free, Diva.
No. Okay, yeah, you have to pay your taxes. Your taxes are paid for.
No.
Diva,
we pay it every time we get a paycheck. And when we make a contribution in for our self-employment tax, we have to take care of those things.
You're not getting what I'm saying. On top of that, you still have to pay for your premiums, you still have to pay for your co-pays, your medication out of pocket, and whatever insurance company doesn't pay, you still have to pay. So if you're complaining about that, why don't you want a system that takes care of all those things?
Diva,
it doesn't take care of it.
It's not free for me. It's free for you, but it's not free for me.
Wow.
And
okay,
nothing is free.
Every, okay,
you got to understand. Some,
I think,
Diva,
I
no,
think
listen. No, listen. What you're missing is no matter how you like, no matter how you spend free, somebody's paying for your free. If you're
okay,
not paying
so
for
I,
your free, I am.
Okay. I said, okay, not free. But where you don't have to worry about all the unexpected out-of-pocket costs. You don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yes,
you know
listen.
That you're paying.
I
yes,
have to
okay,
pay
100%
now.
You, oh my
Diva,
God.
You're not
what
listening.
What I'm saying is you don't want a system that pays for all of your out-of-pocket costs. The only thing you pay is what they do, what they demand that you pay out of your paycheck through your tax. Or
Diva,
your tax.
What are you talking about?
What I'm saying is you guys are out there complaining about the cost of premium going
no
up, your out-of-pocket costs, because if you guys would shut up and let me explain myself instead of talking over me. You guys are complaining about your premium, your out-of-pocket costs. South Carolina said his insurance went up $74. Okay, why don't you want a system where you don't have to worry about that?
You know what we need
what
to do? We all need
that?
To go
what
on
hold
Medicaid.
On, whoa, 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 whoa,
wait,
whoa,
wait,
wait a minute, hold on, hold on.
What system
hold on.
Is that? That's what I want to know.
What system is that?
A public system.
What?
Who's going to pay?
Okay,
who's going to pay for it?
You don't want to go on. I said that. Oh, my God. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out. Maybe I'm talking Spanish. So let me break it down. Well, I'm on the chalkboard with the chalk. The only thing that you have to pay is what you pay in taxes, payroll taxes or income tax. Okay.
Where?
Yes,
what do you
mean? Something happens in emergency. Something happens in an emergency, you have a $6,000 bill, you still have to pay 20% of that right now. Okay, so you have a public system where you end up having something happen, you have a $6,000 bill, you have to pay none of that because the government is going to pay your pay all of that. But you guys don't
the
want
government?
That. You want to still have a private system and still complain about the cost. I don't get it.
Hold on, guys. Hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on, Alex. I gotta hear what system this is. Cause
yeah, it's
this ain't Obamacare, and this ain't Affordable Health Care Act, and England ain't like that either.
It's the system they have in England, and the tax rate is about 70%.
I'm not talking about the Affordable Health Care Act. I'm talking about an actual system that switches and changes everything, like single payer.
In England,
go ahead,
the average person is taxed to a rate of about 70% of what they earn in order to do exactly what you say is being done, you want done. Do you want to write 70% of what you earn to the government?
Hold on. Diva?
I'm complaining about your. My thing is, if you don't want something
Diva,
like that, what's
Diva,
the plan,
do you,
what's the plan,
did,
the plan
you answer,
about your
did you answer the question?
I wasn't. You know what? I was not saying this is what I wanted. I was asking you why you wouldn't want something like that if you're going to complain about the rate.
Look, Diva don't care because Diva don't work, so Diva don't care if they pay 90% taxes. She don't care. She going to get her stuff.
No, what I'm tired of, you guys don't want a public system, but yet you complain and inquire about your rate going up.
No,
we were paying for the system.
Whether Obamacare was enacted, your rate was down.
Your whole existence is subsidized. I understand why you think like that. Now, I mean, that's just how it is, and I respect you for that. That everybody
knows
that
47% of you
pay their own bills.
We were happy before. We didn't want it changed. That's what we're trying to tell you. The law is what has driven our prices up. We're complaining about the law.
Okay, I get that. You don't want to change. Okay?
Diva.
You don't want to change. You're complaining about your rates going up. They were going to go up whether this law was enacted
or not.
No,
they're going up because of government involvement, Diva. They're going up because of government involvement. The government went up and it got involved
okay.
and it went up because
guys,
of that.
You know,
what in the
47%
are you talking about?
I guess you can't argue with stupid. If you think that your insurance rates have not gone up over the years, and if you're going to sit here and tell me they have not, then you're lying to yourself and you're trying to lie to everybody else who's listening to this show. I didn't say
hey, Diva, how much have your insurance
you
rate gone up?
Complaining.
Diva, how much has your insurance rate gone up? My insurance rates have not gone up because I'm on Medicaid. Thank God.
Okay. So what if they started as of tomorrow or, say, November 1st and put a date on it? Because they did that with us. They put a date on it October 1st. How about we do it with those that are on Social Security and say, okay, now, this is just because the government wants to, because we know this is government-regulated. The government says, okay, Social Security is going to drop by $50 a month. We're only going to give you $660 a month, not $710, and we're going to have to do it for each state. Whatever, I'm doing it for the state of Ohio. And so now you just live on $660, and that's it. Goodbye.
What the hell are you talking about, Bonnie?
I'm talking about what you live on. I'm talking about the dollars and cents that you live on.
We're not talking about cash money. We're talking about health insurance.
We're talking about your health care.
I get that you guys don't want government subsidized health care. I get that. So quit complaining about what you got.
Tracy and Diva, just check this out. Check this out. First of all, y'all need to stop clowning Diva and stop laughing at her because she's not a joke. She has a point, and it's a valid point. We understand what she's saying. Diva, this is all they're saying. What they're saying is this concept of free, what you're talking about, sounds like the concept of free is a real concept. All they're saying, and I'm pretty sure you hear what they're saying, Diva. I just want to make sure that we're all saying the same thing. They're saying free is not free unless somebody pays for it. So, when you're saying we're talking health insurance, and you're talking health insurance, and then they're talking dollars and cents, it sounds like we're talking two different languages. We're not talking two different languages because what they're saying, Diva, you're saying it's free. Nobody's paying for it. They're just giving it to you.
I never said it was free. Nobody's paying for it. I said, okay, if an emergency something comes up, right now you pay out of pocket for your premiums. You pay out of pocket for your whatever your prescriptions, or you have to pay 20% private insurance as a pet. Okay.
Right.
Now they're complaining that their premiums go up. Okay. They complain about how much they have to pay. How about you go on it? We have a system where you don't have to worry about paying all that extra out of pocket. Whatever you pay out of your taxes is what you pay. You don't have to worry about no emergency and you got a $6,000 bill because the insurance is not going to cover a certain amount.
What you're talking about is not Obamacare.
I wasn't describing Obamacare. I was describing something else.
You're describing Obamacare.
No, I kept telling them I'm not describing Obamacare. I'm trying to describe a system where if you're going to complain about your rates and all this, we live in a free market society, okay? You're going to have to pay for stuff out of pocket. Emergencies come up. Why complain about the cost that you have to pay when that's the system you wanted? That's all I'm saying.
But that's the system. What they're saying is they didn't want this system. They were fine with the way they had it.
I'm not talking. Okay, I'm not talking about Obamacare. I'm saying you want a private insurance industry with no government regulation, no government oversight, no government nothing. So now you have a insurance industry where you have to pay out of pocket. Your premiums are beholden to what the insurance company is saying you have to pay. That's the system we had prior to the Affordable Health Care Act. Okay?
No, that's
when
not true.
When it first came out, your insurance company didn't say, well, I'll pay 80 and you pay 20 until your deductible is met. You have a $200 copay for a family of four. I mean, you have a $200 premium for a family of four. And if they decide to raise it up $100, they could do that. That's what I'm talking about. And then if they raise up $100, you're mad. You're upset. You get a bill from having an epidectomy, and you're like, oh, my God, how am I going to pay this? You know, I got to pay this out of pocket. What I'm saying is, what is there? But you don't want a system to where you don't have to worry about any of that. All you have to do is pay what's coming out of your taxes. And if taxes go up, I get that Bonnie and Sticks are saying taxes will go up. But if you're going to advocate for a system that you wanted prior to where it's completely private, you have to pay the cost of what comes with that to quit complaining about it.
Here's the problem, Diva. Here's the problem, okay? I'm talking about what I pay, okay? But here's the thing. My company has also got to pay. They are paying $65 per individual that they have insured. On top of that, they're having to pay. Now, listen to me. They're having to pay 2.5% of all the total premiums on top of that to the government. Okay? That's the cost of health care. It's hurting businesses. Okay? This is on every individual that's a full-time individual. That's what's not being reported in the newspaper. That's what's not being told to these
people.
This is,
hold on,
Diva. Hold on. This is why businesses are so aggressively putting people on part-time or reducing their staff to 49 because they can't afford it. What business can afford to pay all the health care premiums that they're paying plus an additional 2.5% plus an additional fee per employee? You can't do it.
No business owner can afford that, realistically. And here, you know what, let me take that back. Small business owners can afford it. Now, you Fortune 500 companies that y'all doing $1 billion a year, $1 trillion a year, yeah, y'all can afford it. But small businesses, even you got to realize that if you're a business owner, you have a staff of 20 people. Is it 20 people or 30 people? What's the staff number?
All I'm
saying is minimum.
If you don't want a government-subsidized health care system, why do you complain about what you already have? People have been complaining about the cost of health care long before the Affordable Health Care Act came. That's why
Change your position. Don't be the consumer. Be the business owner that has to pay for this for the employees that you have working under you. Don't be the consumer now.
You're confusing
the
price with the service. There's two different things. You're confusing the two, Diva. You're arguing the cost versus what do you get for the cost, and can you continue to get it? One has nothing to do when a business owner complains about the cost of health care. He's complaining about the cost. He's not complaining about the quality of health care that his employees get. That's two different things.
And so you have to change your position, Diva. I understand what you're saying. But you're saying it from a consumer's point of view. The person that's going into the grocery store talking about how high the milk is, but realistically, you don't know what the grocery store had to pay for it. So you have to take a different position in your argument. Your argument is fine for where it is, but now you have to look at it as being the owner of a business. Now I'm employing 20 divas that have two kids, and they're all single moms, and they all need insurance, and I have to provide this particular type of health insurance for you. It's not, and if I don't provide it for you, I'm going to be penalized. That's how the position has to be taken view of. You're employing 20 divas. You're a diva, and you're employing 20 of you.
And it's bad. It's bad. And you may take care of your health, and you may not take care of your health.
Right. And see, I think
if you're obese, it's one.
I think health insurance should be rated like automobile insurance. If you're a bad driver,
it is now.
It should be. The other thing I don't understand at all, Tracy. Here's a comment I heard nobody address. I don't understand the schizophrenia of the Democrats and the progressives. I thought big corporations were evil. I thought big companies were evil. I thought rich people were evil.
And yet,
they're the ones who, from President Obama, got all the exemptions where they don't have to change a darn thing for a year, and the Democrats now are fighting because the Republicans want to get it so that everybody gets it postponed for a year, including the little people.
So when
have the Democrats had half their brain removed, and now all of a sudden Wall Street is their friend?
Hey, guys, I got an announcement to make. There's been shots fired at the Capitol, and so they've put the Capitol on lockdown.
God.
Don't know too much about it. I'm just seeing the headlines from the news. The people are frustrated, more so than we think.
Because it's stupid, the whole thing. It's stupid. It's not logical, and it's stupid. And the people who have the biggest opinions about it are the ones who have the least right to have an opinion, because they're the ones who don't have to pay for the mess they've created. Do you know, Tracy, here's the thing that I've heard the Democrats argue. and why we need it federally covered. Do you know, since the first federal program was put in about 40, 50 years ago to try to address this, do you know the number of charities in the United States that do this kind of stuff have diminished by 80% because they couldn't get funding anymore because people said, well, since the government's taking care of it, I don't need to support that charity. You know, right here in our town, on the radio this morning, they had people on where you could go to various local organizations to get help to pick up the slack with a lot of things going on right now because of the government being shut down. We are, South Carolina can help me with this, but if I'm not mistaken, we are the fourth poorest county in the United States. We have a black American population demographic of 57%. Do you know we have had for 20 years a free health care service here in our county that's totally self-supported? And the standard is if you're 200% of the poverty level, which means double the poverty level, you can come in and get 100% medical care, including dental, and it's open to anybody. It's a one-week application process. And that's been in business here for 20 years in the fourth poorest county in the United States. Diva, this program does not need to be administrated at a federal level. It's got to be brought back to the hometown.
It will, and Mike, I don't think it ever will be. But let
no,
me throw this into
the
mix.
Government's got a hold of it.
Absolutely. And let me say this. Our school district is screwed up. We put it on a national level. You took it away from the home base. Every community, all politics are local. You know your community based upon your community, not based on Washington. We are in a situation right now where your health, I mean, Cleveland Clinic has one of the best, finest funding programs I've ever seen. And that's Cleveland Clinic. There's something called One Health Ohio. And they actually, you pay based upon a sliding scale for preventative, for your dental, for your eyes, and for your medical. And so based upon your income, that's what you pay to see the doctor. And we needed tort reform. We need to make sure that doctors are not paying overwhelming insurance policies. And a lot of times they are. The insurance companies were making money on the doctor's back. So there were a lot of doctors that quit even doing OBGYN work and delivering babies because of it. There were better ways to skin this cat than to kill the whole system. And what's happening is they killed the whole system.
Yeah, and if it was truly about the uninsurable, then they could have just started a federal program, thrown $80 billion a year, and they could have covered 20 million uninsurable people that have rare diseases and stuff. They could have covered them. We would have all gladly chipped in our fair share and let those people have health coverage governed from the government like Medicare was and all that. But no, they wanted to mess with everybody, everybody. Everybody wasn't unhappy and everybody wasn't uncovered. They could have picked up the people at risk very simply, and I don't think anybody would have minded, but they wanted to mess with the whole thing. They took the wheels off the wagon and now say, now the wagon will go faster. No, it won't. The wagon's bogged down in the mud.
And,
bogged down.
And we also need to be honest about this, too. This was going to be President Obama's legacy.
Yeah.
Like FDR.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, he was going to be the first, and he was. He was the first president to be able ever to be able to put together a health care reform bill for the whole nation. They've been trying since the early 70s.
Yeah.
This was going to be his legacy in office.
Yeah.
But
and
instead of writing it right, and instead of writing it right, it is now his legacy, but now it's not turned into a legacy. It is a nightmare. That's why they are moving it around, pushing it around, and they're playing politics with the moving of it for companies and delaying it. It's all political. We're playing inside of their political theater, whether you like it or not.
Hey, Tracy.
So without the mandate, would you guys still think it's a bad deal?
Hold on, Diva. Go ahead, Alex.
You touched on something that that irritates me as well. You're talking about our education system. And, these same progressive elitists, as I call them, they do the same thing with education. They craft these big programs, with the Federal Department of Education and really coerce and manipulate the states into, teaching and testing the way that they want. But at the same time, these same politicians won't send their kids to public schools. Their kids are going to the best schools, you know, that they can find, that they can pay for. But they craft all this, you know, this bloated nonsense to send our kids to. And it's the same thing with this health care. They do all this stuff, you know, but it's for us, not for them. And, you know, it's like that all the way down the line with these progressive elitists. That's what they do. They make they just rule over us.
And that's what irritates me. My irritation is, I'm not talking about, you know, Republican, Democrat, and all Republican. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they're treating us like little pawns in the pawn shop, and at the end of the day, they go home and with their bellies full, and then they tell me, well, no, you can eat the crumbs that I leave behind if there's any left. It's nothing but modern-day slavery.
Tracy,
and the government
literally
is your owner. And this
Tracy,
ain't black
literally
and white. Yeah,
nope.
Bonnie?
Literally, what Alex
yeah.
is saying, the elitists sit around a table, okay, and they think of, oh, gee, there's a problem, and they develop this funding, and they make up a staff, and they get themselves even maybe, you know, a nonprofit organization. You know what I'm saying? And they take in federal funding, and they do whatever they need to do. And they play on the suffering of the impoverished and it, or the sick or the crippled or the handicapped. I mean, the biggest bogus thing, Alex said, is No Child Left Behind. No Child Left Behind is leaving children behind. It's discriminative to pick out a child for whatever and you know, whatever it might be, and label them and create funding for them, that's discrimination.
Miss Bonnie and everyone listening, I've been asking this question for a while, and I'm almost positive I asked it on this show, but my question is as simple as this, and maybe you guys can figure this out. How do you value something? Because I want to liken your human body unto a car. And I said this to you guys the other day. I'm almost positive I said it yesterday. There are a lot of beaters on the road right now. A lot of cars on the road that need work. But realistically, who can afford to take their car back to the dealer? Or if I can't go to the dealer, who can afford to really take their car to Firestone, Pep Boys, Midas, something like that, to get the maintenance done that's needed on their car? And this is what we do. This is what we do. My question is, how do you value it? So how do we value human life? Because realistically, if
we
I
don't.
Peter, okay, so but Tracy, somebody's valuing it. Somebody is valuing
no.
it, and somebody's saying that person is worth more than that person. Somebody's
no.
doing that, and
no.
you don't know
right,
how
right,
their
right,
body,
right.
how their
no.
system goes.
Right. No. No. Listen, what I'm saying. You are a commodity, and I use you for what I need, just like all other
right,
slaves
choice,
have been. In the,
you're making the call on what's valuable or
right.
not. Because
listen to what I'm saying is where we're failing to realize is that we're living in a slave system, but we don't even realize that we're slaves. Do
okay,
you realize
so
that we're going to work
question.
Every day and coming home with no money, and they get a paycheck, and all you do is transfer? Rick,
when you talk
listen.
About Congress, talk about Congress making their incomes, and they're bringing in $200,000 a year, and their health care is covered. Well, then they're not slaves. So
but listen, Rick, I'm talking about we the American people in this representative government that we have. We are the slaves to the American government because whether you like it or not, you spend almost 230 days plus paying taxes. So you're working every day and transferring it to somebody else. Have you ever looked at your phone bill? Who are all those people? How many? You pay almost $30 on a $10 on a $10 phone bill.
In Texas, they're on break. They're on break right now. But I guarantee you, some of them got doctor's appointments. They're too old not to have a doctor's appointment. I guarantee
listen,
you, they got doctor's appointments.
But listen to what I'm saying. If you look at the taxes that you're paying, every time you get stopped for a clicking or ticket, it ain't because they care about whether you live or die. Because if they did, they wouldn't. They care about abortion. All they care about is making sure they're funding their coffers. Because they can't afford to take care of it. I got, hold on, the other day I got a $100 water bill with two people not taking a bath.
How in the world did I get a $100 water bill? It's taxes. And
so
they are raping the American people.
How do we value human life?
But listen, they don't value human life because life is not, there's no longer any value to it. All I need for you to do is pay me what I need so I can get more. That's why people kill each other now at the whim of a hat.
I put more money into my antique cars than I will a human life. My antique car will sell more than a human life.
Listen to what I'm saying. We don't value human life. It's extinct. We don't care. That's why we kill our babies. That's why we go to war. That's why I don't take care of my neighbor. That's why I don't respect my mama. That's why
it's
I go out looking like a prostitute.
It's expendable.
Listen, it's expendable and you no longer have any value. Heck, we look in the mirror and don't see value. That's why we walk out in the street looking naked, looking crazy. Do we really understand that? That's why Congress can buy and sell us like they do. And they buy and sell us to the highest lobbyist bidder. That's why laws are not made with common sense. And the president is just as bad. And we're sitting up here applauding all of them while they sit there and they just sell us. Are we missing this? This is a small business. This is a small man. They don't care anymore. And until we wake up and say, you will not buy and sell me anymore, we lose. Because of our undereducation, they don't care. This ain't about Obamacare. This is about the whole mad system. That's why somebody went in there and shot up half the Capitol today. Several people were injured, probably trying to run. Do we understand this? People are frustrated.
They want to
and
keep
it's sad,
they,
and nobody cares.
That's what they want to do, Tracy. They want to keep us where we are. They want to keep us struggling and fighting with one another. And then
look at what's happening. You guys, we're talking about...
Hold on, Rick. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Oh, I was finished. The government is keeping us in a situation where we are distracted by trying to make a living, trying to take care of things, trying to stay on top of things. And it's just what they're doing, so we can't fight them. We can't lobby to come together and lobby together and be strong. And they want to separate us.
But no, Tracy, I have a bigger problem. Why is it that we're even if this Obamacare, once again, I'm telling you, I grew up without insurance, so I'm not like y'all. I can be honest and tell y'all, I grew up on the poor side of the fence. Now, everybody else may have grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth. I didn't. I didn't grow up with insurance, all right? Now, my question is this. Even if I had it, is it a guarantee that having insurance is going to make me well? Because when I look at the way my grandmother died, and she had great insurance. But my grandmother was over-medicated. All because these doggone doctors wanted to give her pills for this, that, and the other. And she died, I truly believe, the insurance industry that was helping with the pharmacy, they like brothers and sisters. They work together. They're like the twin demons. The pharmacies, they're killing people. So I'm not convinced that health insurance is the end of the idea of making sure that Americans are well taken care of.
Rick, listen. People need access to get to a doctor when they need it. When you're too close, right now you can't go in the backyard, tie a string to the back of a car, go down the street and think it's going to help. People die from abscess too. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm with having people have insurance. I think they need it. They need access to some great health care. But what I'm saying is our congressional system and our government right now and the government that's supposed to be representative does not represent the American people. And right now they are pimping America for their own gain. The same way General Motors Union did them when they went bankrupt. And the government actually co-signed with it. We need to be honest about that. They sell us out to the highest bidder every time and then talk about, well, no, I'm doing it on the goods of the people. No, you're doing it because of there's something for you to gain. Because you can't tell me
that Detroit would go, wasn't going to go bankrupt because we bailed them out and Detroit is still broke. That was another lie. And I'm tired of them lying to the American people about them actually caring because they don't care. I don't care what anybody says because if they care, they do better. And that's just the bottom line. Talking about we care about education, but we don't, and we know that you can't read by the third grade, and so instead of us teaching you how to read, we're gonna go start a new prison so we can house you.
Well, this No Child Left Behind is going to degenerate into No Child Left. I mean, they want to start teaching sexual preference at 6 years old. Pretty soon we'll have no children. The government will just convince parents who don't want to teach their children at home, don't want to feed their children breakfast, don't want to teach to do their homework. They're going to say, hey, because you're a working family, we have five-day-a-week daycare. You drop them off on Sunday night, and you get your kid back Friday night, and they'll be in a government-controlled school. That's where this is going.
We're almost there.
And they're going to sell it because they're unruly now. And they're going to sell it as another plus for the people who can't afford daycare. Well, you don't have to worry about that. We have a government program. We'll take your kid 5 days a week. You don't have to feed your kid on the weekend. And they're going to sell it as an alternative to daycare.
Mike, listen.
Yeah.
We already have it. We already have it because you got people trying to drop their children off at JJC every day because they can't control them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we have allowed our children to grow up and be untrained because they've got rights.
Yeah.
Kids don't have rights.
And they learned that from the school system, from the progressive school system. That's where this started, teaching your children, your dad and mom give you any nonsense, you call 911 and get out of there. We'll take care of you and stuff. They started this because I know lots of parents. I remember the first time it happened to me. One of my stepchildren turned to me and said, well, you're not my father. I'll call 911. He was like 11 years old. And I said, here's the phone. Call him. I'll sit in jail for a few days, and meanwhile, you'll be put in foster care, and I don't think they'll let you have all your toys, you know? And it's nonsense. You know, I didn't stand for the threat. This goes back 30-odd years ago. But the point, parents, they are afraid of their own children because of being turned in. Because all the kid has got to say is, I've been abused. And that's it. And those parents,
that's all it takes.
Will spend the next 5 years in the court system.
And once it happens, you lose your child indefinitely. I know a lady who did the same thing. I think I told this story before. The teacher called crying, talking about her son, how he treated her. And she said, send him home and I'll take care of it. She sent him home. She spanked his behind. He went in. He told him that he got a spanking. He had a whelp on the side of his head. And next thing we knew, the Children's Services was out there arresting her for spanking her children, her son.
Yeah.
And then when they sent him back home, it was over. I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's open mic. We'll see you then. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And, you know, don't get caught up in the hype because they really don't care about you.